honourable members, it is 11 o'clock. No, it's 9 o'clock. I'm thinking of Tuesday. I want to make an announcement. Yes. It's 9 o'clock, so welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. Also welcome to the Honourable Minister of Police, Honourable Becky Curley. It's always welcome to the committee. We appreciate his attendance. Honourable members, today, of course, we're going to focus on the issue of rural safety and the implementation of the relevant plans. We'll speak about that in a short while. But I'll first give an opportunity to the honourable members to introduce themselves. We also conveyed an invitation to the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture to attend. So I think some of the members will join us during the proceedings. I will give now an opportunity for members. We will start from Honourable Molobatsi side.
Dumelang bagaetsho. Lena la ka tsena enji moliwati. Ke le lokula committee e mme ke a lo leboga.
Good morning, my name is Leonard Ramakhakane, member of the committee. Morning, I'm Jerome Mage, a member of the police committee.
Goeiemôre, ek is Pieter Groenewald en ek is 'n lid van die komitee.
Good morning, my name is Annette Stein, I'm a member of the agriculture portfolio.
And I'm Diane Curley-Barnard from the police committee.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. We'll go now to the honourable Minister of Police, who's with the National Commissioner, to introduce their delegation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The National Commission will introduce the team.
Thank you, honourable Chair, honourable Minister, and honourable members. The delegation chairs as follows. They will make an indication as they call their names. Lieutenant General Fazi, Deputy National Commissioner Management Advisory Services. Lieutenant General Masemula, Deputy National Commissioner Policing. Lieutenant General Tsumane, Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection. Lieutenant General Musigiri, Divisional Commissioner Crime Detection. Lieutenant General Jafta, Acting Divisional Commissioner Visible Policing. Major General Lee Dwaba, Organized Crime DPCI. Brigadier Mitchell, Head Strategic Management. And Colonel MP Muridili, Acting Spokesperson of Southern National Commissioner. And lastly, Colonel KP Stain, Parliamentary Liaison Strategic Management. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much. Then, honourable members, we've invited six organisations with regard to input. We also received several other requests, but our approach is we want to keep it effective and functional. Also, of course, next year when we resume our activities, February, March, also expand our invite to also invite other role players. So I just want to put that on record. I don't see COSATU and two trade unions yet, as well as one of the unions, but let's give AgriSA an opportunity to introduce their delegation.
Thank you, Chairman. Myself, I'm Tommy Estreiser, I'm from AgriSA, and next to me is Kobus Visser, one of our officers in AgriSA for rural safety responsible. Next to him is Johan Botma from Agri Western Cape.
Thank you very much. We will. The other delegations, including Afasu, when they arrive, we'll give them opportunity to introduce. Members, maybe just to indicate the 11 o'clock issue that I've raised first, I just want to give an indication next week. We will meet next week, Tuesday, at 11 o'clock. And currently on the program is the adoption of the legacy report. But what we will do next week, 11 o'clock, is to give Honourable Groenewald, we are sponsoring a private members bill to give feedback on the input from the department and the honourable members, and also further deliberations on the matter, and then of course we will discuss the desirability of the matter. So I just want to highlight that to members next week, Tuesday, at 11. Honourable Colabona.
Yeah, Chair, I know some committees are now meeting at 11 in the middle of the day. Should we not just stick with our 10 o'clock? I mean, why are we meeting at 11? I know some committees, for some reason, after 15 years, couldn't make a quorum, but certainly that doesn't apply to us.
I think there was a decision at the Chief Whip's Forum with regard to the starting time of committees on Tuesdays for the rest of the term, so that is really the rationale for that. But we will then on Tuesday start with that, deal with four other reports, and if we've got enough time, deal with the legacy report, or that will stand over. And then, of course, colleagues, next Wednesday, we're going to focus on the issue of gang violence, but also the anti-gang strategy of the South African police that was unveiled 2 weeks ago by the President and the Minister in Cape Town. And we've invited four communities from four different provinces, Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape and Free State, to that meeting next Wednesday, also to give testimony and input to the committee. So I just want to highlight that to honourable members. And of course this afternoon is questions to the Minister of Police. So I want to wish everybody well with their follow-up questions later this afternoon, and also to the Minister. Minister.
Lord Chairperson, you are fine for questions this afternoon. What is a little bit of a problem, both the Commissioner and myself, and several senior members here, next Wednesday we are attending the Interpol conference. We'll be in the Interpol conference on Wednesday. I don't know how much the meeting will help, minus the whole everybody here. So it's an Interpol. It will be very difficult not to attend the Interpol conference.
Yeah, thank you. No, Minister, I think it's an important point because we need the National Commissioner here as the accounting officer. So I think we will just liaise with the Secretariat maybe then to see how we can amend that. Yeah, we'll come back to the committee, there's other issues we can deal with on Wednesday, but we take note of that. Thank you, Minister. Thank you for that. Also welcome to Honourable Bele, also welcome to the Special Advisor to the Minister, General Max, also welcome to them. Honourable Members, we're going to start then with the issue of the presentations, but I just want to maybe the reference, because that is one of the reasons we're also having this meeting. If we go to the National Development Plan, the recommendations on page 402. Now, the Commission recommends that the National Rural Safety Strategy should be implemented in its totality. Stakeholders who are part of the drafting of the plan should assist in monitoring the implementation of the strategy. To ensure the effectiveness thereof, and new stakeholders such as farm worker committees and farm watch should be brought on board. Communication tools and early warning systems should be prioritized to address the impediment of distance and infrastructure. Technology and social media should be explored for this purpose. Examples of successful implementation of technology and mobilization of rural communities for crime prevention should be explored further. Safety and crime prevention training and capacity building workshops should be provided to farmers and farm workers jointly. Safety plans for each farm should be developed, taking on board the safety needs of everyone, especially the most vulnerable and most exposed. Farm-wide structures should be beefed up and supported by the local police station. Farm and rural safety structures should be supported by the business community, especially those operating in the agricultural field. So, colleagues, that is really the recommendations of the NDP, and when we engage with regard to the current strategy and the review and also the input of the different stakeholders, the recommendations of the NDP should be central to that. I think some of the presentations do not speak to that, so that is the issues we will have to engage on, especially the issue of technology, why certain structures is not yet in place, what's going to be done to deal with that effectively. So that is really the context. I'm going to now immediately go to the police service, the National Commissioner, and his delegation to proceed with the first presentation. General Sithole.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Maybe just upfront, Honorable Chair, the review of the rural safety strategy is unfolding in the turnaround vision. And in the turnaround vision, the two frontline strategic policies, they are actually captured both the Vision 2030 specification and the NCPS preamble as part and parcel. And as we proceed with the presentation, we've also started with the re-engagement process of the rural safety role players. The few things that the chair is touching, I will also be touching them at the end, because one of the things we are busy with is the development of a rural policing infrastructure. And the key on that is the determination of a rural safety technology user requirement. But we will take you through the presentation, then at the end we'll qualify, and we will also be glad to listen to input and recommendations that will actually beef up the review. Our presentation, Chair, with your permission, is going to be led by Brigadier Mitchell. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Brigadier Mitchell, you're welcome to continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, National Commissioner. The presentation will deal with a brief introduction contextualising the origin of the Rural Safety Strategy, the current status of the implementation of the strategy, and then progress on the review of the Rural Safety Strategy, which was referred to by General Sithole. In terms of the introduction, the strategy was implemented in 2011, specifically to address rural safety as part and parcel of an integrated and holistic day-to-day crime prevention approach based on the principles of sector policing, which addresses the needs of the entire rural community, including the farming community. The pillars of the strategy in 2011 were enhanced service delivery, ensuring an integrated approach, community safety awareness, and rural development. A joint priority committee has been established at all levels to ensure the strategy is coordinated interdepartmentally through the joints on national, provincial, cluster, and police station level. The priority committee consists of the following stakeholders within SAPS: the visible policing capacity, detective services, specifically detectives and stop theft investigation, crime intelligence, operational response services, legal and policy services, the crime registrar, corporate communication, and strategic management. In addition to that, from an intergovernmental point of view, as permanent members, the SANDF, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Rural Development and Land Reform, Traditional Affairs, Justice and Constitutional Development, and the NPA. It also included organized agriculture and farmer associations, including AgriSA, TAUSA, and the NERPO. In addition, farm worker unions, NGOs such as AFRI Forum. The priority committee meetings were scheduled as follows. The national priority committee met monthly. Provincial, cluster, and station priority committees also met monthly. As the National Commissioner indicated, the rural safety strategy is in the process of being reviewed, and this process will be finalized by the end of November 2018. The review is based on the following challenges identified with the implementation of the rural safety strategy: the vastness of rural areas and the complications that that brings, inadequate cooperation from various role players, and I must indicate that this was put a bit bluntly in the initial version of the presentation. It doesn't just involve farmers and farm workers, it involves all of the stakeholders that we require in terms of the strategy, and unreliable reporting. The reviewed strategy will be piloted during the fourth quarter of 18-19 and will be implemented during the new financial year 2019-20. In terms of the implementation of the strategy, the criteria for the implementation of the rural safety strategy, which will be reviewed as part of the review of the strategy itself, the appointment letter, that is the rural safety coordinator, the rural safety plan signed off by all role players, the functioning of the priority committee or other meetings, and the execution of crime prevention and awareness programs, focusing on quarterly and semesterly reporting. Just giving you a breakdown of the classification of police stations: 261 urban stations, and then urban rural and rural stations, 432 rural, 453 urban rural, giving you a total of 885. An extract from the SAPS's annual performance plan 2018-19, the number of rural and urban rural mixed police stations implementing the set criteria of the four pillars of the rural safety strategy, which is a priority indicator for SAPS, given the importance of rural safety. And if you look at the medium-term targets and the column that talks to 2018-19, The target was a total of 841 of 888 identified police stations to implement the set criteria. You will notice a discrepancy between the figure mentioned here and the figure that I've just dealt with, 885 versus 888, and this is simply because of the necessity that certain stations be reclassified from rural-urban or rural to urban stations. Giving you a breakdown of the status of the implementation of the strategy as at the end of the first semester, you will notice from left the total police stations, 1146, that was at the beginning of 2018-19, total urban stations, 261, total rural stations, 432, total implemented, 425. In terms of total rural-urban mix stations, of which there are 453, 441 implemented, partially implemented 4, total not implemented 8, and then the rural safety strategy has also been implemented at certain urban police stations, the total being 51. Just giving you a breakdown of stations which did not implement the rural safety strategy during the first semester, a total of 19, the Eastern Cape 6, KwaZulu-Natal 8, Northern Cape 3, and the Western Cape 2. And the reasons for the non-implementation of the strategy included issues such as certain police stations did not implement the prescribed 5 criteria of the strategy, and then also certain police stations needed to be reclassified from rural or rural-urban to urban. Looking at those stations at which there was partial implementation of the strategy, and you will see the criteria listed below, the blue pillars, total stations 14, where the coordinator was not appointed 9, plan not developed 8, meetings not facilitated 5, joint operations not implemented 3, crime prevention operations 5, and partially implemented 4. Looking at again, partial implementation of the rural safety strategy in the Western Cape, in Bakweni and Tembalethu. According to the province, the police stations are urban police stations, and this is in process of being reclassified. The same reasoning is applicable to these stations in the Northern Cape, Kuyasa, Sunrise, and Pabalelo. Looking at interventions conducted, this is by the division to facilitate the proper implementation of the strategy. Various directives were issued by the division, related to reporting instructions on rural safety, that's the implementation of the rural safety criteria, the functioning of the rural safety priority committees to ensure their proper functioning, correspondence regarding the status of the implementation of the rural safety strategy, and then correspondence relating to non-compliance. In addition to that, the Division Visible Policing conducted work sessions in the Limpopo and Mpumalanga provinces, Limpopo on the 1st of March and the 28th of June this year, and Mpumalanga on 25 to 27 July. The Division also conducted a Rural Safety Coordinators Forum on 12 and 13 June 2018, and the issue of rural safety was also addressed in detail during the quarterly review session from 6 to 8 August 2018. The Visible Policing Division also conducted national priority committee meetings as required on the 12th of April, the 16th of August, and the 24th of October this year. Progress on the review of the rural safety strategy, just giving you a breakdown, during January of 2018, there was a review, a draft rural safety strategy commenced. January to February, there was consultation with various rural safety stakeholders. Work sessions were conducted in Limpopo and Mpumalanga during March and July. During March, there was national consultation with external stakeholders. April and May, the draft strategy was presented to the DNC Policing as well as to the NAT joints. 14-15 June, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries hosted a summary on farm killings and stock theft in Pretoria, during which the strategy was also presented. 12 and 13 July, the draft strategy was presented to the Rural Safety Coordinators Forum. August, September and October, there was alignment of the review draft strategy, and pending final approval is costing of the strategy for implementation. The strategic pillars of the draft reviewed strategy will include, firstly, build an effective capacity and capability. Secondly, improve policing in rural and rural-urban areas, focusing on improving service delivery, supporting the joint development of a vibrant, sustainable and equitable rural community by creating a safe rural environment, and then rendering victim support services in the rural and rural-urban areas. Pillar 3, effective community involvement and stakeholder collaboration, mobilizing and educating the community being a priority, establishing platforms for multi-stakeholder collaborations, the implementation of the SAPS's community in blue concept, and then also including the traditional leaders concept. Pillar 4, improving policing infrastructure in rural and rural urban police stations, utilizing mobile community service centers and creating and capacitating victim support rooms. Monitoring and evaluation, critical, developing a monitoring and evaluation tool for the strategy itself, conducting rural safety assessments, and redressing deficiencies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Brigadier. General Sitole.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. As we speaking about the review, we also intend working together with all the stakeholders to launch the review strategy during the Safety and Security Month. That's the period we're working towards. In the development of the rural policing infrastructure, we are looking at the technology user requirement that is for rural safety. And we would be thinking about the use of drones as we move it because of the vastness of the areas. But we will also be looking at both your mobile, that is a police station approach, and as well as the contact points, your sector, establishing the sector policing contact points. I think the enhancement of the force multipliers will be using both the community in blue concept, which will be working through the farm watch, enhancing and linking it to neighborhood watch. And you will also be looking at the reservist concept, the enhancement of the reservist concept at that particular level. Just also a few issues, the link with the subco cooperation agreements, because most of the farms, they are linked to the neighboring states, and some of the challenges that we experiencing is like stock theft. We want to link the cooperation agreement and activate them within, that is, the rural safety. What we have taken note of, Chair, from the Cabinet Lihutla is the development of rural economy. And we are looking at the creation of a safe and secure foundation for that particular economy before criminals could come in and bring in modus operandi. Then I think the rural safety strategy, it was maybe by means of an oversight, it was de-escalated to NAT joints and not to the JCPS cluster. So most of all the strategies that we implement, they are at the level of the JCPS cluster. And the NAT joints is the operational wing of the JCPS cluster. Or what we need to bring to the NAT joints are interventions, but the strategies, they need to be implemented and evaluated at the level of the cluster. So we are escalating the strategy to the cluster so that the rural safety strategy become a JCPS cluster issue. And we also have certain root causes that does not only require the JCPS cluster attention that are emanating from rural safety, but they emanate from other departments outside that, which then need to link to the inter-cluster, that is cooperation. And finally, we also want to link this strategy to the performance management system of the JCPS cluster, in which all other departments that should play a role, they must be bound by the JCPS cluster performance management system, so that we secure maximum attendance by all the role players. We have started the mobilization as part and parcel of the normalization phase to ensure that this particular strategy is beefed up and is operational. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. We will then go to the next presentation, Agri SA. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Honourable members and also to our Honourable Minister, thank you for the invitation extended to AgriSA to be part of this meeting and discussions. We welcome the fact that government views the safety and security of the rural community as well as that of farmers and farm workers as a priority. AgriSA, a federation of agricultural organisations, was established during 1904 as the South African Agricultural Union and consists of 9 provincial, 6 commodity organisations and 41 corporate members. Essentially, AgriSA, through its affiliated membership, represents a diverse grouping of individual farmers regardless of gender, colour or creed and members in the agricultural value chain within the structures of AgriSA. We also represent at least 28,000 farmers and their farm workers, who is approximately 750,000. The organisation has always had a constructive relationship with the South African Police Service, especially in relation to matters of safety and security. A good example of this relationship is AgriSA's involvement with the implementation of the Rural Safety Plan since 1997, and more recently the National Rural Safety Strategy since July 2011. Therefore, it's not only a matter of cooperation and good relationship, and I want to emphasize it, but more about mutual trust between the two organizations. AgriSA also played a role in finalizing the revised reservist policy in addition to the operational cooperation. We serve on the Joint Priority Committee for Rural Safety, and members of SAPS are represented in AgriSA's Committee for Rural Safety as well. We also welcome the National Commissioner and his management team taking part in our Rural Safety meeting on Monday, where he shared his turnaround vision and the way forward. The Human Rights Commission also emphasized the good relationship which exists between AgriSA and SAPS. Farmers worldwide are subjected to crime. In South Africa, the difference is that the farming community must also contend with farm attacks, something farmers in the rest of the world does not experience. AgriSA is concerned about the ongoing brutality during farm attacks and farmers' murders. This is unacceptable to us. In a recent study conducted by the Bureau of Market Research on behalf of AgriSA, it was found that 70% of farmers participating in the study experienced one or other form of crime during 2017. The percentage of victims affected by crime categories in 2017 is theft of livestock, which is top of the list, is 39.7%. Theft of farm infrastructure, 37.2%. Theft of farm tools and equipment, 34.7%. Theft of game and illegal hunting, 28%. Robbery contributing, 25%. The study further reveals the following, that 32% of farmers experienced an increase in crime over the past 3 years. The total direct cost of this crime was 5.45 billion rand. The total replacement cost due to agricultural crime was 2.2 billion. The total crime-related cost for agricultural was 7.7 billion. The report reveals the reality of South Africans' commercial farmers being repeated victims of various crimes. Crimes affecting commercial farming not only poses a threat to stability in the rural farming areas, the country as a whole, but also puts food security at risk. Issues relating to rural safety are critical within the farming community, and therefore dialogue and strategic engagement are imperative in addressing the challenges faced by farmers, farm workers and members of the rural community. The continued attacks on farmers and farm workers, high levels of stock theft and the levels of farm infrastructure destruction requires an effective strategy to deal with this issue. AgriSA believes that the rural safety strategy can be such a strategy. We welcome the opportunity to make presentations to the police on the revised strategy and would like to emphasize the following aspects of the strategy for the effective implementation thereof. First, the successful implementation of the revised strategy and implementation plan will rely largely on the dedicated attention by all commanders and the NAT joints to see that it is fully implemented with the support of the farming community. A well-functioning priority committee system is needed to support and guide the implementation of the strategy with participation by relevant state departments. A rapid police reaction capacity should be introduced as priority rural clusters to respond to incidents in the rural community, as well as a plan to execute joint crime prevention operations, for example, white-blue light patrols. The establishment of dedicated task teams that should focus on the combating of rural crime and to establish the possible involvement of organized crime should be established. These task teams should be supported by a well-functioning intelligence system to proactively prevent acts of violence in rural areas. To make a significant impact on the crime situation, a well-functioning reservist system, which is the backbone of the rural safety strategy, should be fully implemented and capacitated with the necessary resources to assist the police. Reservists should be supported with the necessary training and the recruitment process must be enhanced. Rural safety coordinators play an important role in assisting in the implementation of the strategy and should not be burdened with other tasks and other functions. Shortages of vehicles and such as cell phones and radios used in rural safety may inhibit the successful implementation of the strategy by the police and the rural safety coordinators. This aspect should be dealt with as a priority in achieving the successful implementation of the strategy. It is recommended that a yearly training session be done by provinces at cluster level to provide training on the implementation of the strategy. While violent crimes and murders on members of the farming community are of great concern to AgriSA, the increase in property and infrastructure related crimes and stock theft has become a burning issue for agriculture. The rural safety strategy is an excellent overarching strategy to deal with rural crimes, but it is further recommended that a sub-strategy be developed to deal especially with violent and property-related crimes in farming areas. There is a definite need for a standardized scorecard or evaluation tool to evaluate the implementation of the strategy in order to ensure that feedback, whether by SAPS or organized agriculture, is done in the same manner and according to the same criteria. This scorecard must be based on the implementation tools as mentioned in the National Rural Safety Strategy. It is also important to monitor and evaluate the effectiveness of the strategy on a continuous basis. This can be done by means of an annual work session between the SAPS and the relevant role players at all levels to ensure that the strategy stays relevant. It is effectively executed and updated when required. For example, in the Free State, the proactive of the implementation, and I want to emphasize this, there's also some positive things within the old the rural safety strategy. In the Free State, of the implementation of the existing strategy resulted in the proactive prevention of 55 farm attacks during the past 3 years. That was from the 1st of January until date. Our conclusion is, we believe that dedicated attention by the NAT joints and top police management as well as other commanders on a continuous basis will ensure that the status of the Priority Committee for Rural Safety as well as the implementation of the revised National Rural Safety Strategy and Implementation Plan at provincial, cluster and local level is dealt with as a priority and with concomitant dedication by commanding officers. We are also convinced that not only a focused attention to the implementation of all NAT joints instructions pertaining to the strategy as well as the effective functioning of priority committees can achieve the objectives of the National Rural Safety Strategy. As an organization, we support the revised Rural Safety Strategy and would like to thank the police for the work done in this regard as well as for the opportunity to assist in developing the strategy. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much to Agri-SA for the presentation. We will now move to COSATU. Mr. Matthew Fox, thank you very much. You're very much welcome.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to members and Honourable Minister and colleagues. My apologies for being delayed, but our PUPCRA members were being quite thorough at the visitor centre.
Yeah, but the new strategy of the South African Police to ensure that Parliament is safe. You're welcome.
This is the thing, we wanted an active minister, now we've got a very active police. But I think, Chair, yes, no, thanks for giving space to COSATU PUPCRA. PUPCRA was not able to make it today, but the General Secretary asked me just to represent them. My name is Matthew Parks. I'm from COSATU's Parliamentary Office. I think, Chair, we don't want to go too much into the stats. The police are far better placed to speak to those stats. I think we just wanted to capture about 10, what if you are, key thematic or macro issues. Which you feel impede the successful implementation of the rural safety strategy. But I think, Chair, maybe we must first say, look, your rural areas are not different from the urban areas. We have massive levels of crime across the nation on all sectors. I think, Chair, we also need to acknowledge the political failures of the past decade and the consequences it's had to the law enforcement agencies across the board, from the NPA, SAPS, intelligence agencies, correctional services, etc. We should not expect the rural areas to be better off. In fact, the worse is the consequence. Chair, I think you will remember in a previous portfolio committee meeting, the minister made quite illustrative examples about toilets in Khayelitsha and how to expect society not to be brutalized when people live in brutalized conditions. And I think, Chair, we must also acknowledge that as a society, our morals levels are plummeting on many fronts. Chair, in terms of the rural safety strategy specifically, look, I think we agree with these broad objectives. We can't disagree with them. Our worrying thing, Chair, is maybe two fronts. One is we feel there are some key omissions, but also we think that SAPS, like all government departments, is very good at putting things on paper in black and white in nice English, but implementation, it's a problem. I can, Chair, also say, look, as a COSATU, we applaud, for example, the rural safety strategy commitment to engage with stakeholders, including with unions. We think at a national, provincial level, the unions, be it PUPCRA, be it SAPU, etc., do engage frequently with SAPS management. Maybe not always to our liking, but the engagement is there. But we know that in the rural areas, there's not that level of engagement. Part of it may be our fault as unions, for example, that in farm workers, the union density ratio is very low there. If it's 5%, it's a lot. As compared to the broader economic sectors, where it's about 25% of workers belong to unions, or in the public services, about 90%. So as COSATU, we've actually tasked two of our affiliates, SACTU and SACAWA, to go and start recruiting farm workers actively to try to change things around, because it's difficult for SAPS to engage with organized labor if it's not there on the ground. But there are other trade unions that operate in rural areas, you know, amongst teachers, PUPCRA, other economic sectors. Chair, look, I think it's also important that as much as we are critical of government and SAPS, we must appreciate the service that SAPS members across the board provide to the nation. They make the ultimate sacrifices, they work hard, they have passion and dedication. Their salaries are not fantastic. So I think we must appreciate the members' service. Even though the minister sitting next to me, Chair, even if it was not here, I was going to say with COSATU, we applaud his appointment and the passion he's bringing to turn things around in SAPS. I think also we appreciate government's initial management interventions in SAPS, in the Hawks, in the intelligence service, etc. And we do see some early successes. I think there's a 30% drop in cash in transit ICE in the last quarter. The launch of the gang unit by the president recently in Inova Park. So those are positive things. Chair, I think our number one concern about the strategy is we feel there's a lack of priority crime-specific strategies, be it gender-based violence, on the issues of alcohol and substance abuse. What we see is a rapid expansion of gangs from Cape Town and other metros to rural towns, coastal fishing villages, etc., including bringing drugs to those communities. I think, Chair, we know it does speak extensively to the issue of isolated communities and farms, but we don't really get a sense of how are you going to tackle that isolation as steps, whilst acknowledging the resource constraints. Again, the issue of stock theft and migration and human trafficking especially. Chair, I think for us, the number one challenge is always the issue of insufficient resources. We are aware that government is under budgetary crisis for various reasons. But even that, Chair, we're not convinced that the management of SAP's resources, it leaves much to be desired. The fact that you can have so many SAP's officers deployed to their head and provincial offices or to desk jobs on the station level, not to on-the-ground community policing, visible patrols, etc. And of course, their deployments often are biased towards urban areas. Your rural head-to-population ratio is very underwhelming, and the amount of stations in rural areas is badly lacking. So, Chair, we do think there's a need for more deployments specifically to rural areas. In addition, that we need more rural stations, but also satellite and mobile stations as well. If you look at the clustered allocation of the strategy for the Northern Cape, it's a handful, yet that's the third largest province in terms of landmass for the country. Chair, we know the issue of the border protection is always a bit of a contestation between SAPs and the Defence Force, but again, just to state the point that it's clearly inadequately protected, especially with regards to Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Mozambique. Chair, to the station level, I think the issue that POPCO wanted us to raise specifically is the need for more CCTV cameras at the station level in the rural areas. Bulletproof windows, I think the example recently, is it in Ngobo, where the SAPS officers were massacred. The issue of fencing, protective gear, better weaponry, computers, and even forensics. Chair, I think without maybe we're stating the obvious, but the issue of vehicles is badly wanting, where there's patrol fans, including 4x4s. You know the condition of our rural areas, it's challenging, the roads, it's challenging to say the best. I think if you can go to some roads, like in Mpumalanga, as you enter from Swaziland, those roads are falling apart. Not that we expect SAPs to fix the roads, but I think we must give SAPs proper vehicles, not the normal vans. I think, Chair, we must spend more in terms of giving SAPs officers off-road motorbikes. The crisis of insufficient water cannon vehicles, I think there was about less than a dozen in the country, and of course more helicopters. But even that, Chair, the condition of the vehicles is bad. Lack of servicing, lack of maintenance, etc. Chair, having said that, there was an interesting article about a week ago that I think in Transnet they spent about 50 million rand on new buckies, I think it's about 250 or something like that, and they are sitting unutilized for a year. In fact, they're deteriorating. Yet we have got SAPs doing a fundamental job but under-resourced. Chair, I think in terms of the training, we'd want to raise the issue that we think our SAPs officers in rural areas are badly under-trained. Whether it's investigations, intelligence, forensics, how to deal with priority crimes. I think crowd control, especially given the rising levels of protests in rural areas, issues of domestic violence. But Chair, I think even the training of SAPs officers beyond just dealing with the Criminal Procedure Act, but other laws. Parliament passes so many laws every year, from labour laws to health and safety laws. And often the only person such an ordinary worker or rural resident depends upon to enforce the law is a SAPS officer. Yet he may be completely unaware of all these laws and even the criminal sanctions parts to those laws. Chair, I think given the isolation of rural areas, I think we'd have to raise special concern about the need for a dedicated approach to women and children. And of course there are low levels of reporting crimes, but again that's partly the issue of a lack of trust or community collaboration with the police. We do feel that the victim-friendly rooms are badly under-resourced, not sufficient, especially in rural areas. Again, the issue of lack of forensic support in the rural areas, the physical distance between the SAP stations and the communities. And of course, I think we must acknowledge that the rural area communities' culture is very conservative and isolated. And again, your substations might be 20 k's away. If you go to a place like in Zanin in Limpopo, the station is in Zanin, but the population serviced by it is about 500,000 people. Those people can be 40, 50 kilometers away, and may have to travel on dirt rural roads to get there. So you do need to have much more close collaboration and interaction. Chair, I think one issue we want to really highlight strongly, and we know if the committee's got a hearing next week on it, is about the expansion of gangs. It might be because of SAP's successes in Cape Town or other areas. It might simply be about profit motive and how to expand the markets. But you can see the proliferation expansion of metro gangs, especially in Cape Town to coastal villages, how your poaching, fishing is now dominated by gangs in the west coast, the southern Cape, etc., Overberg. Again, the expansion of drugs, taking advantage of young, unemployed, frustrated young people in these peri-urban towns. But it's not just the Western Cape. You've seen it in the Eastern Cape as well. You see it in Limpopo and so on. I'm not sure, Chair, if we expect those small little stations in Bredasdorp to have the sophistication to deal with gangs from the metro, which are heavily armed, heavily resourced, etc. So, Chair, I think that's something, if you don't get a hang on it very quickly, it's going to render what has happened to the metro areas of the Cape Flats to those rural towns very soon. Chair, I think in terms of trafficking, we just want to highlight the explosion of trafficking, whether it's human and child trafficking, from the Northern Cape to the metro of Cape Town, across the borders, the flood of illegal immigration across the borders, how we're a soft spot in Africa, the rise of drug smuggling. Chair, we think we really need to have a specific focus on illicit tobacco. That's just not just a question of coming across the border from Zimbabwe, but even within South Africa, from the Eastern Cape, etc. Partly it's been enabled by the mismanagement of SARS in the past few years, but we do see some efforts to turn SARS around. I think she would have to highlight the issue of stock theft, and especially going to Lesotho, and of course the massive levels of vehicle theft here, and then take it across to Zimbabwe, Mozambique, etc. And those are done openly across the border posts, not through Kruger Park or something like that. Chair, just to get into the last three slides, look, I think we do appreciate the focus and the strategy around the farms and the need to build relations there. We don't think that's the work of SAPS alone. Your farm workers are probably your most, with domestic workers, maybe even more so, the most exploited, marginalized, vulnerable workers in the country. Look, we're not saying there's any justification for crime. Crime is crime, no matter what your condition of life is. But if you want to, as a strategy is saying, improve relations and collaboration between the farmers and the farm workers, we think we need a dedicated effort by all departments of government, not just SAP, but rural development, education, labour, health, that we enforce the labour rights of farm workers. Their rights are not enforced. They're paid below minimum wage. They're working above the working hours. They work in horrendous conditions. If they question, want to assert their rights, they're dismissed. They are thrown out of the farm, so they live for 20 years at midnight, etc., despite all the progressive laws that Parliament has passed. So we think there is a need for engagement there, and of course, us as juniors, we must also pull up our socks and play our role. But we must look specifically, as the Minister would say before, at the socio-economic rights of these workers, the housing, the health, the education, the transport. Chair, Parliament has made a lot of good noise about land reform, but again, if you want to address the conditions of farm workers, we need to look at tenure security, etc. That is beyond the remit of this committee, but to rise and trade it. Of course, the issue of alcohol abuse amongst farm workers is a key challenge, especially in the Western Cape, Chair. Chair, last two issues. Look, I think the alcohol abuse needs specific attention. You know, the Western Cape farm workers have the highest fetal alcohol syndrome levels in the world. It causes huge problems for their children for health reasons, and of course, government has now picked up the tab in terms of providing health care. There's no specific attention given to that. But I think, Chair, also from a policing point of view, that most stats will show that there's a direct link between alcohol abuse, domestic violence, rape, violent crimes, sexual crimes, traffic accidents, even for pedestrians. We don't think as a society, whether it's government, it's industry, the education system, we have got a serious plan to deal with it. You're not the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, but we'd be failing our duty if we didn't mention that two progressive liquor laws trying to deal with alcohol abuse have been sitting just in the desk drawer at DTI. But it's something that specifically needs attention. Chair, I think the last issue is just to say, look, we can have all the wonderful plans of SAPS. SAPS can do its best job, we can give it all the resources, but if we don't deal with our social economic crisis, we'll never make a dent on all these issues, Chair. Be it unemployment, we have rising levels of unemployment, but it's worse in the rural areas, it's worse amongst young people. But Chair, if we speak about the collapse of SOEs, the collapse of certain state departments, again, it's much worse in the rural areas. Whether the departments don't exist or they exist, they're very far removed. But I think, Chair, we must also maybe lastly say that is the collapse of municipalities. So it's not just a question of 90% of municipalities being under financial distress, but now you have municipalities which cannot pay workers. They can't render services, etc. The VBS scandal, but even other ones beyond that. So if municipalities collapse, it's going to heighten the social economic crisis in the rural areas, which again, your youth are at the forefront of those brunts. And I think lastly, Chair, I think the issue of the there's a link to that between rising levels of rural violence in terms of protests. I think we've seen what happened in Sutterheim this past week and the past few months, where communities out of despair go on rampage and they burn everything down. Somehow I think we expect SAPS to become miracle workers to deal with that, and the task is for government as a whole to pull up its socks and invest seriously in rural areas development. So, sorry Chair, I jumped beyond the strategy itself. But I think, Kusato, I'll be failing my task if I didn't raise other holistic issues, even those beyond the minister's power to sort out education, etc. Chair, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Then I just want to know, in terms of the PopCru submission, are you going to wear that hat as well?
What I try to do, I think the PopCru submission is a written submission.
Yeah.
And in the PowerPoint, I just summarize the key thematic issues from their side and also from our side too. Jointly do it together, Chair.
Okay. So
all included, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Parks. Appreciate it. I just want to get an indication, is Afaso already here? Not yet. So, right. So we will immediately then move to questions from the honourable members and then get responses from the various role players. If the other role players arrive, of course, we'll give them opportunity. Yeah, the first few questions from my side. It's since 2011, the previous strategy was in place. Now the review process is underway. The previous strategy or the current strategy wasn't fully implemented. Now, one of the issues that was raised was the quality or the input of reporting and the fact that some of these structures didn't operate effectively in terms of meetings and, let's say, interaction. National Commissioner, what's going to be done in the new strategy to address those lacunas that led to the review? Then, I don't want to say, but the presentation of SAPS is a bit NDP-light, to put it bluntly, because the NDP makes very firm recommendations. That's been on the table for the last 7-8 years. And I thought we're going to get more detail in the SAPS presentation, especially I think the National Commission referred to the issue of technology training, but also the issue of, for instance, every farm must have a safety plan. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody's quiet. Why are not we pushing that? And then finally, in the NDP, the presumption is police stations should lead the safety process. They should actually be the driver. But my question is, and I don't want to mention the town, there's a town in one of the rural areas, 150 kilometers from Cape Town, where actually the local community is driving that process. They've got a motor registration identification system, a very comprehensive, sophisticated communication system. They've got more vehicles 24 hours in all sectors than SAPS. So the dilemma is, unless SAPS deals with the issue of leadership at station level in the rural areas, and also the issue of resource allocation, you're going to have a turnaround situation where actually civil society drives the process and not the South African Police Service. And that is an issue that I see is happening. So how do we address that? Because the responsibility from a constitutional point of view for safety and security is with SAPS, not with civil society. Maybe your input on that. Honourable Kolobana.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. I want to start talking about reservists. There's been a massive 82% drop in reservist numbers since 2010 because of that dreadful moratorium. Yet these are people who work for nothing and they act as force multipliers. So what are you doing to try and regain the numbers that you lost literally from the time straight after the FIFA World Cup when they were helping run stations, they were doing everything and they were literally thrown out afterwards. Reservists from all over the country are telling me they haven't received firearm training for sometimes up to 3 years. At one station 5 years ago, they had 76 reservists. They were able to put out 3 response vehicles on Fridays and Saturdays. Now they're down to 24, with only 8 of them having actually received any training. And the hours have dropped from 3,000 hours a month to 200. So think how that hits that one station. I know, and it seems no money is being spent on reservists or their training. The few you have left seem to be leaving because they're not trained, so they can't be used. So you had 63,000, you're now down to just over 11,000, but the question is how many of them are active. And so, look, we know, everyone knows the moratorium is aimed at ridding the service of around 70% odd of the existing reservists. The people who used to spend hours assisting at stations are simply tossed aside because they were retired or whatever. But now the stations that we're talking about here, from what I've heard, have literally, I mean, you can count the numbers on one hand. So what are you doing to... And I know there are some reservists who, after a couple of months, demanded jobs. Well, then the ethos of volunteerism was not made clear to them. So what are you doing to assist specifically in the stations where they need the manpower the most? We know that while, and I've seen it, I've sat in meetings at these rural stations where they do the tick box exercise. Yes, 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 we've implemented the plan, but when it comes down to it, I say, well, how many of your vehicles? Oh, no, we don't have enough personnel. We can only have one out, and that one's 8 hours in that direction, and the murder's happening 3 hours in that direction. So they don't have the manpower to actually implement it. It's implemented on paper, tick, tick, tick. But the reality at station level is that's not the case. When you look at the rural stations and measure their state of readiness in terms of rural attacks, and we're talking today attacks by heavily armed gangs, sometimes even with obvious military training, who proceed to torture family members and workers and the families of the workers, sometimes for days. Have you factored in, as the chair was saying, very carefully factored in those NDP recommendations? We're talking the full implementation, yes, of the rural safety strategy, but also the communication tools, the training workshops, the visits to each and every farm to discuss the farm wash structures and like. Are you doing that? Because that seems to me to be the crux of the issue, and I did like your description of NDP light. I thought that was appropriate. Now, I think you have to excuse the cynicism from the rural community, because the rural safety efforts have failed since the first one introduced in 1997. The so-called Rural Protection Plan, that relied heavily on the commandos who were promptly shut down in 2003, so that all collapsed. There was a rural sector model, there was another couple, and they've all just fallen flat, and offered no assistance at all. And the treatment of these citizens from the SAP side has been described as slow and haphazard. I think that pretty much sums it up. So I want to hear what you're going to do differently, because by now I think everyone's cynical and frankly not believing much of what we're hearing. And finally, the stock theft, and in fact, Annette and I have been to various areas and The stock theft is a huge issue. The local communities inevitably say that cop is involved. Look, he lives in a house, the one with the 10 columns and the 5 cars in the front, and that's where our cattle go. So there are major issues. Those stock theft units, I mean, they're known as the Cinderella units. I don't know if it's where cops go to die or what the situation is, but they have zero resourcing. They have, oh please, to suggest they would have a helicopter, to suggest they would have quad bikes, something to get them in the terrain, anything to be able to follow a herd over the border. As it heads towards the border, I've actually heard of two guys who looked at their watch, oh, no, time to go home, and they left. A man's entire livelihood being driven over the border and they went home. So it's not helping. And I want to be convinced when I leave today that someone has seen the light and someone is going to help our rural communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Steyn, I'll come to you. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the invitation to come and attend this meeting. I think it's quite important that the agriculture portfolio also sit in. And it's good that the Minister at least was part of the agriculture portfolio, because we have discussed this also at length in our portfolio, which is of course troublesome to us. Can I just, and maybe I didn't do my homework, but if someone can just explain to me in a very short what is supposed to be present at a station when you say it's fully implemented, because I've visited a lot of police stations. And it's almost the same as the stick box exercise. They will say, yes, they have a strategy, they have a vehicle, but that's it. So what is supposed to be different when a police station is what you would call fully implemented? So that when we go and do oversight, we can also check on those issues. Because I have seen nothing different except for the fact that people would say they have a plan. That's my first thing. Then the second one, a concern to me, is do you have a specific focus on the weapons? Because I keep on asking, and I want to know, and I see also in many of the cases where attacks happen on farms specifically, people are looking for weapons, either weapons or money. Do you follow what happens to these weapons? Do we retrieve them? Do we know what they're being used for? Because maybe if we find out what the reasons are for these attacks, it can also help with prevention. And that's my second question, is what intelligence do you have to follow what is the reasons for these attacks? I know there's other things now, crime that's going up, normal crime with stock theft and theft of other things on farms that's massively increasing. I would believe that some of that is linked to an increase in drug abuse in rural towns. When I go and visit rural communities these days, the number one complaint that people have is drug abuse. Areas where there was never drugs, my little small town where I come from, children of 6 and 7 sit in the street and use drugs, and everyone talks about it and knows about it, and you know, it's as if it's just totally out of hand. So I would like to find out if you would think about having specific task teams for rural areas that can move around, that can link all of these things, looking at what is happening to the weapons, whether drugs play a role, do we have syndicates operating? I can remember, I think, in Limpopo at one stage, 6 or 7 or 8 attacks was linked to one group of people who committed crimes on farms. So it might be linked to syndicates, I don't know. Then my question would be farm invasions. Whether the rural safety strategy would also deal with things like farm invasions. It's something that we're getting more and more. It's not just happening on farms, it's any rural areas, open felt and places that you can find. I've been phoned many times by people in communities who said they go to the police and they say they can do nothing. So what do we do? Who do we phone? I want to phone a person to say, listen, sir, that police station says they can't do anything. You know, and mostly they can't, because they don't even have a vehicle to go. There's someone being murdered or some serious thing happening in another place, and they just can't go. They don't have the manpower, or either they don't know what to do. So if we can just find out that. And then just lastly on the reservist. I am also very concerned on the low numbers of reservists. And then secondly, when you have a police station who actually do have reservists, they don't work anymore. I don't know if there's something, a reason, why they are not being used. The area where I come from, they do have a functioning reservist lot, but they haven't worked for 2 years, so I'm sure the status has now dropped to null, and they will have to be trained again, and everything will have to be starting from. So why are they not used? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Stein. I will go to Honourable Bella. I just want to welcome the representatives of UFASA. You're welcome. We will, after tea, give you an opportunity. You're very much welcome. Thank you. Honourable Bella, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and apologies for my late arrival this morning. I am covered on the issue of the material shortcomings that would be a hindrance to implementation. We know the situation around understaffing and under-equipping at stations, and it was mentioned in the Agri-SA presentation as well concerning vehicles, cell phones and radios. So just to hear the response on how that will be addressed by management. Similarly, organized crime. I'm not convinced that crime intelligence is at least yet up to the task. An information session I attended earlier on this year by someone who's been researching and following the issue of farm attacks said that at least insofar as the organized crime aspect of it is concerned, it comes down to three things. She said it was guns, cash, jewelry. And those are obviously goods that are going to be moving between syndicate networks. And if CI is on their game, then in tackling the wider syndicate activity, it'll obviously impact on reducing where it manifests in rural environments. So, yeah, the organized crime aspect is something that we need CI to pick up on. My particular question was to ask whether, or my remaining question, is that given the unique challenges as outlined when it comes to rural policing, and that it's effectively a specialized environment, has any thought been given to at least in identified priority precincts using dedicated rural safety units to drive the strategy? So we could talk about task teams, which is something that Agri-SA also referenced. But I believe the Commissioner and the Minister and the SAPS management are well aware of the merits of specialized units in certain environments. So is there any thought being given to that particular approach? Specialized or dedicated intelligence, investigation, equipping, technology, etc., and really crack down on the backbone of this issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bela, Honourable Groenewald, and then Honourable Molobatsik.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I first want to start by asking and requesting the Honourable Minister to please inform the Honourable President of the correct facts when it comes to farm murders. He responded on an official question from the Honourable Stein, and in the official answer from the Honourable President, he's only aware of crime statistics when it comes to farm murders since 2010-2011. It is quite clear that he doesn't know what the real, situation is when it comes to farm murders, going back right to 1994. So my request firstly is to the Honourable Minister to have a briefing with the Honourable President so that he can understand farm murders and farm attacks. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to come to the Commissioner. Now, firstly, I want to say I must be honest to say that I'm disappointed this morning, because it was confirmed that there was a meeting with Agri-SA on a revised and the turnaround strategy when it comes to rural safety. So I thought at least this morning we're going to have a revised or a turnaround strategy presentation, but I don't see it here. The only thing I see in this presentation is that there's a progress. But if I listen that there was a meeting, so it means that there's already a revised and a turnaround strategy on rural safety. The question is, when are we going to receive the turnaround strategy? Because this is only confirming actually the present. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to ask the Commissioner whether he is also willing to have a meeting with TAU South Africa, because they are one of the role players and part of the priority committee, seeing that you had a meeting with Agri South Africa. I think because of the fact that they are also an important role player, that they also have such a meeting. So is he willing to have that? Lastly, Chairperson, and I agree, you yourself have made some remarks and some questions on the reservists, the real situation. The late former Commissioner of Police, Jackie Selebi, he had some flaws, but at least he did one good thing. And that was that in 2003, he had a comprehensive report compiled by the police with different stakeholders on farm attacks and farm killings. Now my request is, Chairperson, and maybe with collaboration with the Honourable Minister, are they willing that we have that report, the recommendations made, a follow-up report, meaning that we have a new investigation and a complete report compiled on farm attacks and farm murders like the report of 2003. When Jackie Selebi was a commissioner. My last question, Chairperson, is to Agri SA. I want to ask Agri SA, their figures, the numbers of murders and attacks on farms, and I know there's always an issue about the definition of what is a farm murder and what is a farm attack. I just want to know whether their figures are the same as the figures of the South African Police Services. And if there is a difference, what is the difference and why is there a difference? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable. Honourable Molobachi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first one to Agri SA. To what extent have you realized that in some instances the issue of the relationship between the farmer and the farm workers is a problem to the safety of the farmers? My next one to SAPS. Tell us about the roles of the six departments that are sitting on the Joint Priority Committee. Second one, there is a low recovery of livestock and prosecution. Do you utilize informants to help link suspects to the crime? My last one. Why are the CPF and community safety forums not represented on the Joint Priority Committee? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Molobachi. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. In slide 5, you said a joint priority committee has been established. When was it established? And when was the last meeting took place for the national provincial cluster and station level? My second question is in slide 8. what do you mean about unreliable reporting? My third question, will you please indicate whether specialized stock theft units are adequately capacitated and resourced? What is the major challenge faced by these units? Are specialized units like the K-9 and equestrian units available to assist stock theft units? Do stock theft units have access to appropriate vehicles like 4x4s, quad bikes, and ATVs? Are stock theft units rationally distributed countrywide in terms of location? My last question, will you please indicate what innovative measures and technological advances have been considered during the review of the rural safety strategy, and which will be incorporated in the revised strategy? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Marke.
Thank you, Chairperson. A question to SAPS. Just to understand what a rural safety coordinator is, how is that person selected? What is the functions? And is that person a SAPS member, or can he or she be selected from stakeholders? Just to try and have an idea on what the functions of the coordinator is. The second question would be on AgriSA. It's a new technology, microchip computer technology that is used. I don't have an idea of how expensive it is, but I would like to understand that that is the best you can have, because it tells you what type of animal, the color, the gender, and it's not easy for the thieves to locate it or to know in any way that it is there. And people do it with their dogs. Why not with their, I nearly said the most valuable, maybe in some cultures a dog is more valuable than a cattle itself. But why not use this? Is it that very expensive? And if it's expensive, just to have an idea of the amounts also. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Markey. Honourable Imam Chay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start off by speaking about some very, very important factors, and I think we are missing that point, and that is the contributing factors to the crime, particularly in the rural areas. Now, I must agree with my colleague from COSATU when he talks about the alcohol fetal syndrome, and I've been very boisterous about that over a long period of time. This is going on to decades, moving from generation to generation, and very little or nothing is being done by, other than by government in trying to address this, and government does not have the capacity or the resources to be able to deal with it. So in light of that, I'd like to know from the AgriSA, what can they do to meet government halfway in being able to address this, because you find a lot of these murders and crime is taking place on a Wednesday and a Friday and a Saturday, and alcohol seems to play a major role in this. Alcohol and firearms. What is the process, or what will they be willing to do to work together with government in being able, because to a very large extent, alcohol fetal syndrome is the origin of baby of farms. That's where it all originated from, the doctors. Let us be honest about that. Now, we cannot compare ourselves to other countries. Our socioeconomic conditions are completely different. Where we come from, what we've been through, we must take those things into consideration. But also, what have we done to create a more cohesive society, community between farm owners and farm workers? Because there's that perception outside there that farm owners, they marginalize the communities, they treat them very badly, there is no proper accommodation, they evict them despite, you know, legislation saying the opposite. When they retire, they've got no benefits. Their shock, living conditions are shocking. Some of them don't even give them electricity. They don't want to try. There are a whole lot of things. Is SAPS willing, is doing something about ensuring that you bring these two communities together, that is the farm owners and the farm workers, and maybe if you create a more cohesive society, there will be better understanding and collaboration between between them, which might have an effect of reducing crime. To SAPS, I wanted to know, how is it there's such a big discrepancy in terms of the survey on stock theft between the victims of crime survey and SAPS, which is 159,000 to 28,000, I'm not really sure how that basically happens. Now, you know, I see a lot of passion about particularly issues to do with farms, and yes, one murder, one crime is one too many as far as I'm concerned. But equally, we must consider and look at the socio-economic conditions of the people living in the rural areas. And remember, in those rural areas, there is, I don't know how the police or SAPS is engaging with the other role players in terms of these shebeens that are open all hours. And the fact that we've identified alcohol as one of the contributing factors, you would find that, I'll give you a good example, if you take an area in Tsitsikamma, in a small area, Minister, of about 500, there's 40 shebeens. Yeah, 40 shebeens. So what is the problem? I saw a 5-year-old child go into the shebeen and buy alcohol and come out, you know. And so, you know, unless you work with all these other stakeholders to deal with this matter holistically, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. And very often I see, you know, the blame just being pushed onto the police must do this, the police must do that. Yes, the police is not perfect, but under the circumstances, I think, Minister, and I'm not saying this because you are here, there's been a lot of success since yourself and the Commissioner have come in. A lot of success. In fact, how many farm murders have we heard of recently? How many cash in transit heists have we heard of it? So there's progress, and what it calls for is collaboration between all other role players to be able to basically deal with that. Now, the other challenge that I have, Honourable Chairperson, is that if you take the issue of resources, and you have limited resources, if you take communities all over South Africa, what have we done? We've got neighborhood watch, we've got policing forums, we've got security where we pay armed response, we pay everything. Is the farm owners also having a similar thing where they are providing security for themselves as well? Because if communities are able to do, because we must understand, crime is a serious challenge for all South Africans. It's not limited just to farms and rural areas. The urban areas have got a serious problem as well. So the question is, what measures is, maybe for Agri-SA, what measures are you putting in place as well, given the fact that SAPS has limited resources, to also provide your own security? And I must agree with you that when attacks on farm owners and things is not acceptable, really it is not. But given the circumstances that we have limited resources and with the crime spread throughout South Africa at the rate it is and what police is trying to do, and we're also trying to address the socio-economic conditions, providing for water, sanitation, education and everything else, how can you help and what can you do to work together with them by being able to provide some edited security for yourself? Maybe you are to a certain extent, I'm not sure, but maybe you can actually elaborate on that. When I spoke about the farm, I want you to tell us what you can do in creating a better society for those farm workers, how we can work together in trying to create a long-term plan. Because let me tell you, there is also, yes, a lot of outside interference, be it political, be it people that are, you know, motivating people to do a whole lot of things. Maybe farm owners to a large extent are misunderstood as well. But we need to create that environment. But Minister, I want to tell you, I promise you, if you do a survey on police vehicles, particularly, you'll find a minimum of 25% at any given time is parked by somebody's house. I find it all over, I promise you. Everywhere in the country I go. Minimum 25% parked in houses for 8 to 10 to 12 hours at a time. That's how bad it is. Now the problem is they're not being monitored, so maybe we should do something with that. I'll stop there for now.
Thank you very much. I'll just want to give an opportunity to the delegation of AFASA just to introduce themselves, and if there's any contributions at this stage, they're very much welcome. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Chair. We apologize to be coming late. We were on time but locked in traffic. And taking account that we come from a rural background, when you come to the city, you don't know most of the streets. But thank you also for inviting AFASA into the whole committee issues. As AFASA, we are concerned and we are really hit by this issue of stock theft, because we live on rural areas and animals in the rural area are actually the bank of a rural dweller. Now, one would have to understand perhaps from SAPS especially on the stock theft police officer selection. What criteria are they using? And what training are these people specifically given? Are they only given the training only on the policing side of things, but they really don't understand the dynamics also of rearing animals? And I would also raise the issue, because most of the time when you go to the court, you find that the facts are not well represented. You see a lot of loopholes in terms of the police statements. You find that the magistrates also don't have any background of whatsoever in terms of the value of the animal. You see, if I can cite an example, if you take a goat or a sheep, the price of that goat to a rural dweller has got a lot of impact in terms of value. But when a case is being decided, we only think that, or the statement has been taken, it is just a valueless item, that this person was hungry, he stole that to feed himself. These are the issues that hit us badly, because, and it also affects the economy. Because as you look at the numbers of stock theft, which are increasing on a yearly basis, there is no decrease. The police has made some strides in terms of trying to deal with the syndicates, but it appears that these people had a formidable succession plan, because some of those people who have been arrested, who were stealing those animals, are dead, but the problem has become worse. You find that this thing has spread into the whole communities. The other problem that we find is not only on stock theft. We used to understand that when you come to the cities, there is shoplifting. But these days, there is also farm lifting. And you plant maize, for an example. You ultimately harvest only 20% of what you have harvested. Everything got stolen. When you get to the court with that, there is lack of information, understanding in terms of the harvest per hectare, in terms of the rents and value, which makes an impact on the life of a farmer and even the farm employees. The other issue is, I don't know how the police deal with this issue of the case management of stock theft. What is the turnaround time? Because there are some cases which are hanging because of the lack of information coming from the police statements. Even if a farmer goes to an extent of applying himself in terms of the means and ways of arresting those people and handing them to the police, the next thing they are walking free and they laugh at you when they see you on the street because they think that you are crazy. The other issue that also adds to the whole scenario, nowadays you find that when you move around the farming area, there are taverns. I don't know what is the police approach in terms of dealing with that. Because these taverns become a two-sided coin. People go to the tavern, fill themselves up with alcohol, and they come and break your crawl and take your animals. Then you should understand the person was drunk. You should understand the person was hungry. But at the end of the day, it impacts on my rents and value, it impacts on my financial statements, and it impacts on the payment of SARS, for an example. The other issue of the selection of the police, we have experienced as farmers. When you get to court and you try to present your case in the manner that you understand your livestock, you find that the policeman cannot differentiate from the track of a cow and the track of a donkey. Now you start to answer, how was this person put in this position if he cannot differentiate that? And the perpetrators are aware of the lack of that information from the police side, and they manipulate them. The issue, I have heard that as I came in chairperson, that there was made mention of reservists. I don't know from where I come from. You see, police is a science. And if you take somebody who is ignorant of the information management of cases, you are also shooting yourself on the foot. Because most of the problems, if we can sit down and look into them in detail, you find that most of the investigations were leaked by this reservist, who were just taken at face value, not having the in-depth knowledge of what understand by protecting the information. These are the things that we feel affect us dearly. And we are willing that if the police open their hands, to assist them. Because we even understand the patterns how these things are being done. And sometimes you lack that when you have information, you call the police. They will come after a week. At some instances, they don't come at all. And that's the basis how we lose cases on stock theft. Thank you, Chairperson.
Very much for your input. Your colleague is welcome. Welcome, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Mongeni Skakane from KZN. what I want to raise as a father in the province. We've got a huge challenge concerning stock theft. The number there is increasing, but my colleague is covering me. But I want to raise this. There is a guy called Bruce who's got a pound. That guy is contributing a lot to confuse us as emerging farmers in the province. For example, there is a lot of cows who is straight animal, because the grazing camp around the rural areas, communities, they is not fenced. I would like to explain this in Zulu so that Minister, you will hear clear what I'm trying to say here.
So the Minister will translate. Thank you.
Yeah, Bruce Lapaya, AKZN Sinenking, utata inkomo zethu as ama emerging farmers, and pound, afake lapha kwi pound. Only found ukuthi within 3 days masi sesiz identifyile afuna ukusikhokhisa imali enkulu, naye nje iproof enginayo la inkomo ya identifier within 3 days, but imali ye pound yagcina ikhokhiwe. It's 4,780. And le mali yayifuneka kumama oholela impesheni ugogo uJabulile Zuma. So lento iyasikhathaza lento eyenziwa uBruce lapha kwiprovince yethu, ngoba enye yezinto azenzayo uthatha even inkomo zakonongoma azilethe ephawundini esehawick. Lokho sicabanga ukuthi mhlonishwa akukho semthethweni, kuyasilimaza njengabafuyi, ngoba lezi nkomo izo esiphila ngazo. Sikuthatha thina lokho ngokuthi uyazeba lo mlungu lezi nkomo, ngoba kwesinye isikhathi ezinye zazo usezangene even ey'ndaweni zasemakhaya azozithatha khona. So as ama-emerging farmers sibone ngazuthi ilungelo lethu lokuthi sifuye sikwazi ukuparticipate nakwi-economy liyaqindezeleka ngenxa yalo mlungu. Kuningi nje akwenzayo laphaya kwi-province yethu. Nokuthi ke okunye siyacela i-Department of Agriculture izame ukuthi la madlelo lawa angabiyiwe, abiwe. Yiloko nje okwami. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can you just maybe clarify who's Bruce? Is he the owner?
UBruce umlungu nje owner ipound laphaya eHowick. Uyena lo othatha iy'nkomo zabantu abamnyama.
On the pound issue, as my colleague has mentioned, it is a thorn on the flesh on our side as emerging farmers, because we don't know really who owns this pound. The police, when you report a case and you come with a positive information, when they find those animals, they put them on the pound. Those animals will be in the pound for a period of a year. Some of them will calf in that pound, and you will never find the calves. You don't know actually what is the strategy of having pounds, because our literal understanding of pounds was to temporarily keep those animals when they have to be identified by the owner. But now it seems it's a business. It's a business that is to the advantage of the farmers. We want maybe the police could clarify on that. And who finances this pound?
Thank you very much for your input. We appreciate, of course, some of the issues is provincial designated, but we will, of course, deal with that. We will start now.
now with the responses from the various institutions, we will start with the South African Police Service first. Honourable Minister.
Chairperson, it's a pity Honourable Member Groenewald isn't here, because I did not get the gist of his question. But he said the question was asked by the Honourable Member. If I can, what was the question and what was the answer, what was expected, just in short.
Thank you very much. Honourable Minister, Honourable Stanley, if you can just clarify, thank you very much.
I didn't ask the question, but as far as I understood, I asked a written question to the President on his utterances that he made in America to say that there's no farm murders in South Africa.
Well, I think I know that, but Honourable Member Groenewald, I thought was talking about a different question. Chairperson, there are a few interesting things here. I think this was a joint portfolio, but all questions go to police. Yeah, no, nothing else to agriculture and anybody else. That's that. That's one, which is quite interesting. Secondly, Chair, this area at one time will have to expand the invitation, because the last questions there about COCTA, those questions that were asked by AFASA, mostly of them about COCTA and agriculture. So it's interesting that nobody, agriculture, so is here. The top management of agriculture is here. They are lucky that nobody asks questions about them. Everybody asks police. The pound thing is supposed to be owned and overseen by local government. That's what the law says. It's a local government issue to pound the cattle, keep them until the owners are found, not to be sold. That's that. Now, that's why I was asking, who's Bruce? Because looks like Bruce has found a business out of the pound. I don't know whether he's a farmer, whether he's employed by the government, whether owns these pounds, which are not supposed to own, because pounds are supposed to be governed by the local government. So we'll have to find that. For me, Bruce is a thief. For me. So I think we need to look close to Bruce and who is Bruce and why Bruce will charge an old woman who gets a pension 4,000 rands for keeping her cow for 3 days in a pound, and whose pound is that, and who gives them the right to own the pound. So those are the things that we'll have to look at. That's one. Two, fencing is an agricultural matter, and nobody's asking them about that. Fencing is an agricultural matter to safeguard the movement of the stock. Because one problem about the stock is when they go to freeways and they cause a lot of damage in terms of the human lives when they go there. Many people have died because of the stock on the street. Owners, they let it go. Agriculture, don't fence. If and when agriculture fence, the communities come and cut the fence and fence their own houses. And they complain that government is doing nothing when they've taken the fence. I think at one time, I don't know if that's been implemented by agriculture, we wanted a different kind of wire. I think we're going to get red or green, so that when they cut it and they go and fence and we see that this is a stolen fence. So I think agriculture needs to continue and do that. to make sure that it's easily identified. But also, agriculture is responsible for a technology of the chips that are put on the cows, on the cattle. Agriculture is here. Nobody asked them that. Do they put them those chips so that Mr. Honorable Fruneval's cows is yours, mine is mine? Because there are chips and there are these, I don't know, you know, pow, where they put some identification in that particular cow. That is supposed to be followed and administered by agriculture. Is that done? Is that monitored if it is happening? So that when the police come and you say, "Wu Paul Wenkomo Yam Lulu," and the police go there and say, "But Wenkomo Yara Tsela, you're never stolen," because Nado Paul. So we'll have to work very closely with the departments that are part of the rural safety plan, especially when it comes to the economy of the rural areas. Because I agree, this is an economy wasemakhaya inkomo. So, Chairperson, it could be that the portfolio committee comes, but beyond our request, the DGs, including the commissioner here, and other DGs, maybe make their own invitation with their top structure to work on these matters, where it will begin to protect at an elaborated level that everybody gets involved, rather than every question going to the police. Police put no fence, police have no pound, police put no chips. All those things are done by different departments. But I'm glad the Ubabus Kakanapum comes from KZN. The government, they pays a lot of money for his induna. They get paid. So they should be part of the safety in the rural areas and their places where they live and in their villages and their communities. Because they would know, induna would know, umhlambi, this lot is Stolen, this lot is Stolen. And but you find the boys from Stolen taking inkomo zakwaqhele. So they are part of the structure of safety. That's why amakhosi and izinduna are paid by the government. So they must be drawn in again is a question of quota, Chairperson, dealing with those matters. So it should be an elaborated and everybody comes in dealing with the rural safety, especially in the stock theft. I want to go back to the question. I'm really have a good, not loving, but a good warmth towards Agri-SA. I think one thing that they've tried to do big time is a de-rationalizing of farming. I don't know if many people agree, but I've seen the effort of de-rationalizing the issue of farming matters. I think they gave their figures, they have farm workers, they have black farmers and all that. I highly appreciate it. Because we do have this weakness of rationalizing the farming issue. We'll have to work hard to de-rationalize it. You see, I don't know if Afroforum is here now. I saw them on the list. You see, this thing of going to Australia and go to Trump and say there is a genocide on the white farmers and everybody keeps quiet, I think, except Agri-SA again, who did not agree with that statement of a genocide. And it's absolutely a murder and no genocide. And that murder is not exclusive to the problem of murder we have in South Africa. And if you go and you talk about farm murder and you put color on it, it becomes a problem. Because it's not only white South Africans that die in farm situation. And when something serious happens and people keep quiet, when somebody takes somebody to put him in the coffin alive, and nobody makes a voice out of it, maybe except again to the organization I've spoken about, it's a problem. Because that thing puts conflict in the community of farming that we all have a problem when they begin to be killed. I think it's one area that we'll have to work hard to de-rationalize the issue of farming communities. Farming communities die and it ends there. Not white farming communities die. I think in our minds we'll have to drill that and fight the sketch of killings in farming community. And have South African voices saying it's wrong to go and talk about genocide. I think the figure was given of farmers last time on the states. I think there were about 60 farmers. Yeah, about 62. Out of how many South African murders in last year? 20,000. 20,000 murders will happen in South Africa, and 62. And you say there is a genocide in the white farmers out of 20,000 South African kids. Of all who agree that we have to push very hard. But it cannot be. It cannot be allowed to go that way. 20,000 people died, 262 certain community died, and you call it genocide. Minus 62 out of 20,000 people killed. So those are the things that we want to make a call to say, let's be South Africans on these matters and all fight them as such at these matters. Maybe, I agree, we'll revisit the update that was done by Comrade Jackie that time, but also working ourselves towards it. But I think it's also fine that the farmers were giving figures. There is another call, Chairperson, or the statistics. They want us to give women per se and children that have been abducted and children that have been killed. It's a column we're looking at. But please, when there are South Africans that are misrepresenting South Africa, we must all rise and say it's wrong, it cannot be allowed. All of us. We must say there is no genocide of farmers in South Africa. There is a matter that we must all, and there must be a serious response on it. But to say there is a genocide when 62 certain community is killed out of 20,000 South African kids, I think is a misrepresentation of that thing. The last one on the stock theft, again, we have developed, Chairperson, the stimulus package of safety that has been presented to Cabinet and has been adopted by Cabinet. I don't know if we have presented that to the Portfolio Committee. I don't know. But it has been accepted by the Cabinet. So I think it will help. Where we have put 5 top issues that South African police with the cluster. It was not the police presentation, it was a cluster presentation. If it is put properly and well implemented, will reduce crime very drastic and with immediate effect. One that is there is illicit economy. That illicit economy entails the stock theft. Because it becomes an illicit economy in the rural areas. Where people they take, you see somebody made a presentation, Chairperson, to say most of the hostels, the meat that is eaten there comes from the stock theft. Yes. Most of Oshisanyama, not only the hostel, but most of Oshisanyama, the meat comes from the stolen stock rather than the boy. So somebody came in with information that one hospital is supplied with the stolen meat. So it's a serious business. But again, I would agree that we need to work as the South African police. We do have, I want to admit the sin committed by the South African police. You see, when an established farmer and the commercial farmer reports, there is a faster movement than Upele, who reported 20 head of cattle. Whereas these 20 head of cattle for sale is only what he has. So police must learn that the response must be equality in response when people they make a call. Because if Zoom trending Omo Zamba Zong, I've lost everything that I have. So I fully agree with that there is that tendency from some of us. But the last point I want to make is 2011. I heard Honorable Grunewald saying there's not been update on the strategy. We went to some town, I can't forget the town we went to, Masimulo, in the border of Lesotho and us, where we launched that strategy in the particular year. It was 2011. Was it Bethlehem? Yes. That was 2011. One thing that we worked on were the resources, which I agree maybe we have dropped the ball again when it comes to resources. Were the resources, we said some helicopters must be around the borders so that they move quick on this thing. 4x4s, they must be sent to these areas. Horse riding, they must be sent to these areas. Maybe it's one area that, as we enhance the strategy, we'll have to work on it. But the resources, as the chair was saying, that there are communities that are more resourced than the police, it should not be so. I think those that have an extra resources, we must learn to share and we must all learn to utilize it as a team. Those resources. Utilize them as a team, because it's true, there will be richer communities and put better resources than the police in that particular time. But it doesn't help much if that is only utilized for them. It should be spread and work in a way that is coordinated by all of us working on that one. The reservist, the commission will answer, but there is a new phenomenon with the reservist, the honorable member caller. It cannot be allowed to be a new entry point for the job. It cannot be. People must apply to become the police members and undergo every other thing before they become police. Rather than go as a reservist and you say no, because I'm old now, I've been a reservist, cut this. So it's a new tendency of saying, at one time they were marching by reservists, marching to become the police. But the police is very clear what does it mean to be a reservist. It is nowhere that says later you march and so you get it. But I agree, there are those that have put their time there. If there is a way of bringing them in, let it be. But it should not be allowed to be a bypass of the system that you must be South African, no record, this is age, this is this, you must be healthy, this is this. Because if you are older, no sugar, you have diabetes, but you will have to understand because you are over age when you have bypassed the system. So, while reservists are there, we need to make sure that is not used as the passing the system. But agree, Commissioner is working on the intake. I'm sure there are good reservists that have been there. He will work the space on those that they come in. But please, they should not use as a system of bypassing the system. That is that. So, Chair, my last call is that let's identify all departments that will put this plan cannot be the police plan alone. The DSD must deal with those people that they still pay Mutwala. I know there are still some church systems here. DSD must deal with that. You can't pay people with a church. What kind of a person are you producing there for them to have a torch and all that kind of thing? So DSD must come there. Education, especially basic education, must be so that we do and see what is the situation at the farm schools. Forget about the government and all that. I'm sure somebody is dealing with that. But there are things at the farm school where I'm told for 6 months or 6 weeks, kids will go to work on the farm because the school in the farm, and they pay back. And then they go and work for the farm. So let's find those things. If they are there, they're wrong. You can't take kids from school to go and pay because the school is in the farm. So, and those things, they mess up the relationships, and work on those things that they mess up relationships. If you put a person alive in the coffin, what do you expect the community to do around that situation? So I would make invitation to that. Let's sit together, work together. Relationships of the communities in the farms is one thing that we'll have to work hard on it to stabilize the situation and make sure that people there, not Louis Trichardman, somewhere in KZN near Scott, the black farm, his cows were poisoned and all died. They put poison on the water where it drinks. They all died by the commercial farmer to say, you are beginning to overgraze, so I'll reduce your stock. So those are the things that we must deal with so that it will create better relationships in the community farm, and then the life will be better. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Members, we're going to take a 10-minute tea break, and then we'll come back.
Chairperson, sorry, point of order. Now, before we do that, Chairperson.
Honourable Groenewald, we're going to take a tea break. We'll come back after 10 minutes for any other follow-ups. You're welcome. Welcome to the Chairperson of Agriculture for joining us. We'll meet again in 10 minutes. Thank you. that also. What do you think? Oops, sorry. Do that if you can, otherwise it will burst.
talked to the PMQ, and I spoke to Daniel.
Good.
And she could see that it's not going. Her school for 6 months.
Oh my God.
So she told me to cancel and re-register. But as for, because when I try and re-register, it comes up that it knows me.
Yeah.
And I've been too busy. So I'm getting it from my colleague. But she has to forward it every day.
Oh, no, that's the thing.
Thanks. I just don't know how to get back on.
Yeah. No, I'll
send
to my colleague.
So will you, you know, I'm going to give you
My colleague deals with some systems.
Because at one stage when I called, the person I spoke to, Stella, you on it? And then I ended up phoning Gail. And she looked and she said, I can see you're not getting it. You're on, but it's not going through. So it's del@gfsa.org.za. So if you can just try and... Have you got your card yet? Okay, one, two, four, and five. And I just haven't paid attention to it.
Enough. I've run out of business.
Honourable members, 2 minutes. 2 minutes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Apologies for not having enough cups of tea there. That's Parliament's responsibility, unfortunately not within the purview of this committee. So, yeah. Right, we're going to continue with our responses from the various role players in terms of the first round of questions. Honourable Grunwald, just before tea, you raised your hand. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, now, firstly, I want to say that I think the honourable minister is misinformed. AfriForum never ever said that there's a white genocide in South Africa. They never said that. Secondly, Chairperson, I must say I'm disappointed that the Honourable Minister refers to the 62 farm murders as if it's 62 of 20,000. The Honourable Minister knows that when you talk about murder rates, for instance, the world average is 7 per 100,000 of the population. If you look at the murder rate of South Africa, it's 35 per 100,000. If you look at the killing of members of the police services, which is a dangerous job, we're talking about 52 per 100,000 of the population. Those are the correct statistics. And if you go to the farming community, then it jumps up, depending on how many murders there was, well, it is between 100 and 150 per 100,000. So if you want to identify a specific problem of a specific group, it's not just a matter of 62 from 20,000. Maybe we must get into a discussion as far as that is. And then I also want to say, I was in Belgium. If you talk to the international world about the cruelty that's taking place about farm murders, and it's black farmers included. Recently we had a case in KZN with brutal murder where the wife has been raped, a black farmer. That is what is happening. And the moment you talk in the international world about the cruelty, then people say, but that sounds like a genocide. So please, AfriForum never ever said that there's a white genocide. The Honourable President referred to white farmers when he responded. So we will just have to get the facts correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Right, of course, the Minister will have a right of reply, please, Minister.
Chairperson, Honourable Member must say did not hear the Afro Forum. I heard the Afro Forum speaking in Australia in a certain channel, radio channel. He used the word genocide. It's not a second information, it's a first-hand information. If you didn't hear, don't say they didn't say it. I heard him, that gentleman. He was before moved from Australia to America to see this Trump. He said that in Australia. I heard him with my ears. So if you didn't hear, don't say he didn't say it. That's the first point. The second point, I will not want to take this debate forward. My responsibility is to make sure that South Africans are safe at all levels. So I would not want to come here and say these are safe, they should be safer than these at all. The last point I want to make with the Honourable Member. Please, when there is a terrible happening in the farms done by the established farm who will mostly happen that our white compatriots do terrible things, please make a voice. Please make a voice. Don't allow people to put people in you can't allow people to feed human beings to lions, as it happened. You can't allow people to put people, and you think that things will be normal. Please make the noise to say not in our name. Thank you.
Chairperson, I do say not in my name. So, but let me and the Minister have the discussion on that matter. In private, we can have it. But please, I will not accept misinterpretations from what I said. So, on this subject, I fully agree with the Honourable Minister. If there are other things that is happening here, I will condemn it, and I already condemned that. So, on a more, can I say, non-emotional way, me and the Minister will, if he accepts it, we will engage. The Honourable President always says, we have to engage each other, so I will engage the Honourable Minister. Thank you.
Right, members. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Let's move into the other responses. The National Commissioner, I think, is going to deal with the other issues from SAPSA. Thank you, Minister.
President, can I have the permission to go and prepare for the Honourable Member Kwala Pana's questions?
Yeah, if she can just give the follow-up question to the Minister, please, before he leaves. Thank you very much, Minister Kuethenen. You excused, Commissioner?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thanks very much to the Honourable Members for the questions. Chair, we will be answering together as usual. I'll take the strategic questions and the operatives will take the operational questions. Chair, I wanted to start with the current strategy with the question that the Chair raised. I think, Chair, when we analyze the strategy, we have identified some discrepancies. The first of those discrepancies was the fact that the NDP recommendations were not fully covered in the strategy. Hence, when I presented the turnaround vision, the NDP was in the first phase of my presentation. So the review is intended to capture the NDP recommendations fully. Secondly, Chair, there's three of the five main objectives of the National Crime Prevention Strategy. One of them is the integration of resources of government agencies as well as civil society, which also talks to the other question that the Chair has raised, where you find civil society resources trying to outclass, that is, government resources. If we comply or we operationalize this main objective of the National Crime Prevention Strategy, we will not reach that situation, because what we are building into the revised strategy is a rural resource management strategy, which will be talking to full integration of resources at that particular level. But within the turnaround vision, Chair, we are currently busy with the migration of resources down to police stations from both headquarters and provincial level. And the rural police stations are also a priority. Therefore, the beefing up or the capacitation of these particular police stations will flow within that particular this particular priority. But also, the current strategy, the location is not at the right level. We are now escalating it to the JCPS cluster so that the strategic drive of the implementation of the strategy is in the hands and is subject to the direction of the JCPS cluster. Previously, this particular strategy was de-escalated to NAT joints. And NAT joints is an operational wing. Now, when you place a strategy at operational level, then you will not be able to draw strategic support into it. But further to that, we also then realized that the performance management of the strategy, the performance management systems with the JCPS cluster that can talk across, that is the department. But if you downscale it down to NAT joints, then the performance of the strategy could not be managed effectively so. And hence, at the JCPS cluster, the minister is co-chairing with the other minister. And from various angles, if we listen to FASA, and again, if we listen to the various members, there's root cause analysis where we have a root cause metric that talks to various root causes that are inhibiting rural safety. Those root causes, Chair, they can only be dealt with through an inter-cluster process. So you can only have inter-cluster process at that particular level, at the level of the cluster. So that's where we're taking it. The same applies to the intervention that is required by FASA. It requires us, the police, the Department of Agriculture and COCTA to go down. Anyway, we will go down and deal with it. But it's already an interdepartmental issue. Then the President, Chair, is speaking about radical economic transformation. And when you get to rural safety, that's where you also have the foundation of your gross domestic product. And in terms of the current strategy, this strategy does not link fully to your socio-economic stability. And that is the realignment which we're bringing in so that it can talk to the stimulus that is strategy. There's other serious issues like the revival of the specialized units. We had people speaking about them. They are at the level of the turnaround, but they included in the scope of rural safety, which is a capacity that we want to enhance. Then, Chair, there was also a question raised by the Honourable Member in terms of the expectation that the reviewed strategy was supposed to be here. I wanted to explain it to say we started with a stabilisation which was declared by the Minister of the whole country in June. Immediately after the stabilisation, we started the normalisation process. Now, the review of the rural safety strategy is part of the normalization process. And the few meetings that we have held, they are actually marking the journey towards the review. We still have to engage more stakeholders. Like, for instance, one of the questions was based on my willingness to meet with FASA, and my answer is yes. But there's more other stakeholders that we still need to engage, and we will reach out to them. So once we have reached out all the stakeholders, then we'll get a review. Then the review, Chair, will be presented to the committee before the launch. But we just want to make sure that we bring everyone on board, and it's part and parcel of the normalization process. So these structures that we targeting, they include one of the concepts we've introduced, the traditional policing concepts, which mobilizes all traditional leaders in the country. So, and it's part and parcel of the rural policing concept. The community safety forums are also part of this. And all agricultural unions, including the labor organizations, Chair, have also presented the general strategy to them. And hence, that is the buy-in. Then, Chair, with regard to the reservists, I have only issued a directive with regard to the revival and enhancement of reservists and linking them to the resourcing of policing. But I would like to give the platform, with your permission, to General Masimulen Jafta to talk to what's current in terms of the reservists.
Thank you, National Commissioner. General Jafta, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Good morning to all of you. I think there's a problem. Currently, we have just under 11,000 active reservists. We are in the process now, specifically with a community, launching with a community policing strategy, where we are going out to communities to have recruitment drives in terms of reservists for the rural communities, because it is extremely difficult for farmers to get away from the farms for training. Specifically, we are revising our training program to look at a localized training program on cluster level, where farmers don't have to leave their farms for 3 weeks to go and do training, because it is extremely difficult. So we're looking at a special training model for the rural areas in terms of reservists. I must say, most of our active reservists are in the rural communities currently and not even in the urban areas. But I think the issue for our farmers specifically is getting away from their farms for 3 weeks or more for training, and we are revising that one.
Thank you, Chair. National Commissioner.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, regarding what we're going to do to restore the client confidence, firstly, we have launched a community policing strategy, and in our engagement with all the rural stakeholders, starting with our engagement on Monday with AgriSA, we have presented this particular strategy, and they have indicated how do we intend to operationalize it within rural safety. This particular strategy goes together hand in glove with the community in blue concept, which is intended to enhance the neighborhood watch, and especially at a rural level, the farm watches. So I think the engagement through this particular strategy is the one that will help us to restore the confidence, and it will be linked to the service charter. And then, Chair, the StockDef, that is units, with regard to their resourcing, the part that I can put in here is that from the turnaround vision direction, we are reviving the specialized unit or the specialized capacity in the police service. And reviving the specialized, that is capacity, the rural safety forms an integral part of this particular revival. But I would like to afford the opportunity to crime detection to can just briefly talk on the current state of the stock theft. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. General?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think several questions were asked on the capacity of SOC theft units and where they are based in the country. We are having 90 SOC theft units currently, and they spread as follows, if I can go there, Chairperson. We're having 22 units in the Eastern Cape. That is because of the vastness of the area of Eastern Cape, and to also cover the border station, we do have quite a number of border units within the Eastern Cape. We are having 16 in KwaZulu-Natal province, 11 in Free State, 11 in Mpumalanga, 8 in Limpopo, Northern Cape and Northwest, we have 7 units. We all have 6 units in the Western Cape and 2 units in Gauteng. I may be talking to the issue of the units as well. I can quickly go to the resources, as there was a question on what type of vehicles are within the stock theft units. We do prioritize in buying of vehicles for stock theft units only 4x4 vehicles, looking at the terrain where the units are. We also have motorcycles, quad bikes, trailers, trucks, horse trailers and horses, especially in Mpumalanga units, and majority of the vehicles within the stock theft units are 4x4 vehicles. And very few sedan. We're only having 16 sedan cars that are for the compliance inspection teams and the provincial coordinators that are mostly doing the visits, and when they do go to other places to submit the exhibits and to do the investigation in areas outside of their policing area. But the priority or the focus on buying the resources for stock theft units is only on those that are relevant for the stock theft units.
With your permission, Chair, Chenderma Semula will also add.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. There was questions around the roles of or functions of a rural safety coordinator, whether he's a member. Yes, it is a police member who does the coordination, and he has got, of course, other functions, as we are aware that we don't have enough sufficient members at some of the rural stations. So he is just like we have a social crime prevention coordinator or domestic violence coordinator. So the rural safety coordinator is a police member that coordinates these activities around to see to it that there is rural safety that is being done. Priority committees, yes, at station cluster they meet monthly, provincial, and then also at as a priority committee of the NAT joints, there are regular meetings. The functions of those committees, because it includes various departments, their roles, their line function department, they raise various matters at those committees, and each department or entity attend to their line function. So the priority committee is there to coordinate the various roles of those committees. I think it's or criteria for fully implemented, there is during the presentation one I've seen that what currently, the National Commissioner said, we are reviewing the strategy, but the old one is that if there is a safety coordinator appointed and there is a rural safety plan that has been signed off, but all role players at that specific level, be it station, cluster or province, and also is the priority committee functioning well, and also are there some crime prevention operations and or awareness, and are they meeting as prescribed? So those are the criteria that are currently being used. But as the National Commissioner said, one of the challenges is that currently departments, you'll find that they might send different role players, which makes the working of the committees a bit problematic because there is no continuous handing over of information. Hence, he said, at the JCPS, we'll have to look at how to hold one another accountable, because it is indeed a challenge at the various levels with regard to this. I think, there was a question around the motives and firearms. Yes, firearms do get recovered that are involved in these crimes. They get recovered, some of them. And the motive mostly for this attacks is robberies that will include your money, your guns, and also for animal products like your lions. Sometimes they kill lions, they take the head and the paws and the bones. So those are your organized part of this area. And of course, one of the motives is revenge, employer-employee relationship. Most of the suspects, where you find that they are foreign nationals, they've been employed, either they have not been paid, and they come back later, where then they will attack the farmer, probably as a revenge for either non-payment and so on. And such suspects, it's difficult to get them because they cross back once they've done that. Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, National Commission, there's just two issues that was raised by AFASA with regard to the core competencies of the stock theft members, and also case management. The fact that a lot of the cases fell through due to that. Can we just maybe get input on that? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Maybe to respond to this one, I wanted to start with training, because the core is actually the training that should talk to the competence. One, Chair, there's a shift of modus operandi from your urbanized side of the country now into the rural side, which then means that more strategic criminals are moving towards the, and the shift of that modus operandi to the rural areas required a review of the training and development strategy. So we need to train those members differently so that they're able to respond to the modus operandi. But two, Chair, I think no matter how much of a police person I can be, I would not be able to match their understanding of the rural environment because they are there. Now, what then needs to happen within the training and development strategy? We have what we call the training and development research. We would like to engage with FASA and say, what is it that you know that you don't see coming out of the police delivery that we can capture back to training so that we can then train them better to be more adaptable. Then Chair, when we've been speaking, that is about the revival of specialized units, we are also looking at those members whom their training will be rural-based, so that they've got the rural competence, and then focusing on those particular units. When it comes to case management, there's two things, Chair, that we're going to do. I think one, by the time we engage with FASA, we are going to explain or introduce and explain to them the cold case strategy. And several of the cases they refer to, we're going to take them to the cold case strategy for reanalysis and reinvestigation. That's what crime detection is going to do. But within the criminal justice cluster, there is also a directive, Chair, that talks to case flow management. And we are then going to strengthen that value chain and also make sure that the current training ensures that the members are competent to deal with this aspect. So those are the few issues that we're going to do, and the directive is already out to crime detection. Then, Chair, there's also questions that we're talking to, is the existence of syndicates in the farming areas? The answer is yes. I think firstly, we had a takedown in one of the farms in the Eastern Cape. They were not only keeping drugs in that farm, but heads of cattle, quite a lot of cattle. And the suspects which were taken down there, some of them, they were owning these Chisanyama things in the township and all that, but they were using that farm to supply. Secondly, we had the one at Harding, which was a factory that had three machines which were manufacturing 16 tablets per second of Mandrax. Yes. And they were not only supplying South Africa, they supply international. But it was on a farm. That's it. So that is why we emphasize in Chair that there's a shift of modus operandi from the urban areas to the rural areas. And from the turnaround vision side, we have therefore formalized modus operandi analysis and research, and hence the modus operandi analysis center. At a rural level, we are also going to deal with rural modus operandi analysis so that we get that is ahead of them and we get the responses. So that's the area we're going to strengthen, Chair. This includes the development or the enhancement of the CI capacity in dealing with organized crime. Firstly, I need to indicate that those takedowns or the bust of those two syndicates in the farms, it was because of CI, that is information. Therefore, for that, from our side, we wanted to give CI expression in what they've done. But in the renewal, the corporate renewal of CI, we still need to work more harder to get CI up to this particular level. It's a structured process, Chair. And Chair, the roles of the six departments, I think as we're escalating the strategy to the JCPS cluster, I wanted to make few examples, and I will take the Department of Transport, Roads and Transport. I think both us, the police, as well as the farmers themselves, we need the road. For us to respond, we need the road. But for them to make sure that the rural economy grows, they also need the road. Therefore, that is a clear role of that particular department, because in some of the roads, we can't reach out to certain areas, even if you go by 4x4. So that is one role. Social development, there's also a role for them to restore the moral fiber that is of society. Then there's also human trafficking practice there. We need shelters for kids and so all the roles, Chair, they are clearly defined, but what we want to do at the present moment is to escalate this matter to a JCPS cluster directive. And there's also a process that needs to be followed at the JCPS cluster level where the departments officially assign the people to participate and fulfill those roles, and they must also then be evaluated. Their performance must be evaluated, that is for doing that. CPS and CSF, Chair, they are part of the local crime prevention framework and as well as your local policing framework. They don't function in isolation. It's an integrated approach at that particular level, which also talks to prevention. There was a question, Chair, of low recoveries and informers, and I'm sure crime detection would talk to that particular question, but the directive that was issued, the strategic direction, has been based on the fact that there's a national norm that is determined for the ratio of investigators to informers. And that particular national norm is maintained according to the performance management system of the organization. If they drop below the norm, it's a misconduct. But the crime detection can, with your permission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. On our annual performance or operational plan, we put for every investigator the number of informers and the informer network that each investigator is supposed to have. And this is also including the stock theft units members. And I must also indicate that when we talk to the rural investigation, it also includes other investigation units like organized crime, where we have the issues that the National Commissioner already alluded to. And we're also looking at our station investigators. So it is a cross-cutting requirement for investigators to have a number of resources, and it also applies to specialized units such as stock theft. So we do have the capacity, or we do have the monitoring capacity that we're looking at the number of informers that each investigator must have at a time. And I must accept that we do have a very low recovery rate that is characterized by a number of factors, but it's part of the thing that we will look into when we go forward into reviewing our performance on the stock theft units.
Maybe on that issue, National Commissioner, can we get an indication percentage-wise of the current informer load at, let's say, percentage in the rural stations? I mean, that might be in the APP, but what is the current situation? That because that's our dilemma, that's our concern. It might be there, it's up to the specific detectives or CI members to recruit those members, but what is the actual percentage today as we sit here? Honourable Marke, also follow up, and Honourable Malabacho on the same issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a follow-up on case management, especially on stock theft. The gentleman from AFASA explained the differences when it comes to court. The rural person would say, my cow ibele kulwana, meaning that is the color of the car. And the interpreter would say it was red, which wouldn't be the correct interpretation of what the owner is saying. And it means there's a problem with the case. Because even in the case, it's not written Kulwana. It's written it was red. And he even mentioned again that the police officer in the stock theft unit, I even laughed because I had that kettle for a very long time, doesn't know what is it called in English, a spoor. Spoor. Doesn't know the difference from the spoor of a cow and a donkey. And then you see, then it becomes very difficult for a person to win this case. Instead, the person loses his cattle to the pounder, whatever it is called. So if this problem is not solved, it means cases won't be won. If you take stock theft person from Gauteng and you bring him to KZN, he doesn't know anything about the spoor and so on. So I think that was not addressed. It means then there's no way in which you can deal with the case management issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mulabatsi, and then Honourable Stein. And yes. Then there's also input from Afasa. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. General, I heard you say you put down a number of informers, as opposed to so many informers for an officer. That's how I understand it. But my question is, do you have a way of following up on the adherence of what you put down? Because for me, there's a difference between putting down and the real utilization. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Stein, and then Afasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to firstly check if I heard correctly that one of the criteria to then qualify as a rural safety police station is that you must have a certain number of meetings a month. Because that's all that I could really find out, because that's why I said earlier, if I visit police stations, I ask them, do you have the strategy in place? Yes, that's it. There's nothing different from having, you know, before or after. So I hope this is something that will be looked at your turnaround strategy, because it's not just good enough to say that you've met with A, B and C this month. That's not really helping us. It's putting more people on the ground. And I think one of the criteria must be to have a certain number or percentage of reservists on the ground so that people can help and assist. So I'm not quite very happy with that. Chairperson, and then I would like to find out if it's possible for someone, and it doesn't have to be now, but even in writing, can tell us where horse units are on the ground, because I know that there was one in the Eastern Cape on the border in Yugi Road area, but as far as my information is that unit's been closed down because they didn't have enough funding. So I would like to find out, especially around the borders, where these horse units exist. And then, Chairperson, I'm going to be a bit controversial, I'm sure. I want us to have a final thing on this thing of percentage of farm murders. And I am one that's fighting for this thing of murders on farmers. But if you look at percentage-wise, we always take the percentage of commercial farmers. But the definition of farm murders include workers, and it also includes people living in smallholder areas. So I would really like the police to look at that statistics, because we can't keep on fighting on what percentage of people are murdered, because the brutality of the murder is the thing that we need to speak about. And that we can't fight about percentage of murders and this and that. We need to find something, and that's why I don't think my question on the guns, on the weapons was followed. Because I do believe that one of the issues is that people are looking for weapons. And if they can't find it, there's this massive brutality that's happening, or they can't find money. So the police need to focus on that. We need to find out what is it that, why are the criminals looking for these things? What do they do with it? And it was linked to my question on syndicates. I do believe that it's syndicates that's behind this. They use it for something to sell to get money, but who are they selling it to? So our fight mustn't not be on the percentage. Our fight must be on who is responsible for this. So I really think we need to get to that point, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. So the member from Afasa, and then Honourable Ramatlakane.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate what the National Commissioner has put on the table and to look at and to take appropriate action. But one thing that would make a difference to their strategies is probably engaging with the Department of Agriculture in terms of the stock card. If you would remember, in the past years, we used to have a stock card. And that stock card was a measure and a tool that would be used to see how many animals you have acquired, if you have sold or you have bought new animals. That component would also reduce in terms of stock theft. And that was the function of the Department of Agriculture. So if the police could interact with the Department of Agriculture and looking at maybe bringing back that stock card issue would assist. The second point is, one would have thought that perhaps, as the minister has said, there should be an interaction of head of the department. The problem of stock theft is worsened by also the claimed farms which are claimed by communities. And this farm, you find that this farm are given to the members of the community who don't have any animals. So if I've got a farm where I can hide the animals in, then that would spark the issue of now having notorious acts to try and own something because you have land, where also the stock card would be able to assist. And also to draw in the chiefs of different villages, because these farms are actually claimed by chiefs. And they end up giving them to their community members, and they are becoming a problem. The last point which I would like to submit here is also to look at the Branding Act, which is also the involvement of the Department of Agriculture. There is a system where if you have to have animals and you have to brand them, you have to apply for the brand mark. And the department has got the databases of that. And if there could be a good relationship between the police and the Department of Agriculture, it would assist in improving the case management, because if they can have a shared database, so when the animals are found, a search could be performed on the database of the brand registration, then the owner could be identified, and that would give a quick response. The last point is also looking at, when you look at our communities, there are farmers who are running from Monday to Friday amongst those communities with trailers, where they are buying animals. You don't know as to whether when the animals are sold, are the processes followed in terms of verifying the ownership in those animals which are sold on a daily basis. And I think with those could contribute more effectively onto the case management, because the thing that delays on the case management is lack of information and source of information where the police could access to identify the animals which have been found to be amongst other people. It's a point of verification. So if we can start to compose that information, which will quicken up the process of the turnaround of the case to be managed and to be put to rest. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Honourable Ramtakane.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. Just a short one, because my question, I'm sure my colleague has asked them before when I left for another meeting. But I just want to find out from the Commissioner. The when I was listening in terms of page 19, and I was listening to the review process of the strategy, when the when the years were starting to happen as when it's going to be implemented, I was asking myself in the intervening period what then happened. We'll continue with the strategy that we have currently, and then of course the other one takes over. Now this links me to the question of a specialization, bring the question of specialization. That more and more in terms of policing planning strategy, the capacity is always linked to degree of specialization. When you have a crime that is committed and you have the police officers mostly that are, most cases you find are constable that are at the forefront of this. And without a specialization, you have a problem. Because then the problem is going to be, how do you deal with this nature of the crime? Because the higher the rank goes, the experience moves upwards. So I'm just trying to find out this strategy in terms of actually specializing and bringing the experience closer to the crime area, at the core place of where crime is committed. The second point is this. I know that the review is important, General, but we can't, at a regular interval, review the plan and take time to review it. And I was listening at some stations that were unable to implement the strategy because of the classification, or they were now classified out of being a rural to semi or peri, and as a result of that they are unable to implement the plan. It's more or less like we decided on the cluster structure of clusters policing, and we could not implement the cluster policing because there were some problems here and there. Now we go to something else. So my concern is that if we continue to do the review and review, we take time and we marshal a lot of time into that aspect. Instead of panel beating what is not working, then the entire thing. So that's I like this from AfriForum, this issue about Free State. I think there was something about the Free State and cooperation and AgriSA. I think they spoke about something, the Free State proactive approach that they've taken, that the state or there was a 55 either cases that has been. Now I'm wondering if that is a kind of a model that you can speak about that is for the success, why aren't you replicating it to other areas? You know, the last time we went to Free State, there was a problem with stock theft. There was a problem with the, I think it's R702, the road to Zastro, that road. That was a problem there with both the hijacking and the, and now I'm hearing that in terms of this, there is a attention to that. But why not extend it if we already know that that's a plan that works? Just extend it. Now, isn't it that better that the cooperation from the farm unions generally, in terms of not only cooperation by meeting, but in terms of capacity, also bring a particular capacity in the area, can be the best way of partnership in dealing with the rural safety issue. So now, not only talking, but also saying, in this area, we have X number of our members, and this is a contribution we can make. I mean, this whole thing about satellite here, that builds this community policing that include yourself as well. Commissioner, the last part, I had to respond to the question of the CPS and that they involve at a particular level. when you were talking about stakeholders and in the presentation, I didn't find the centrality of your key partner in it. I had other stakeholders who mentioned by name how they, in fact, even the what you call the joint forum that you are creating, I didn't quite hear them. They are prominent. What is the safety forums that are beginning to emerge? I didn't hear them, whether they are recognized. I don't know whether you say their role is at a lower level, not at that level where you are having the key stakeholders part of it. For me, that's a problem. It's a problem because if you want the community perspective that has to be inform the plan and the direction, surely you have to bring them on board in that particular level. Otherwise, it becomes an issue of whether there's a recognition, whether there's a value add or not value add. That is not, so I just think that is, for me, is a problem. Maybe it's an omission, or it was maybe dealt with when I was when I left. But I think certainly that has to be, because those are the best repository of information in terms of what actually happened in the area. So if you lose that input, that valuable input on them in terms of that, you are poorer with that kind of information. If it's not an omission, then I will accept that. But I just think that we need to drive that community policing concept more and more, because that's a first multiplier. I agree, Chair, with this issue about partnership and not only policing, because if we don't look at this as an integrated plan, then we'll always come second best. Even when we come to the issue of the reservist, and I'm looking at the agriculture and the chair of it, because I just think that earlier on you're going to say the more you recruit, the reason you are not going to recruit the reservist, it's affect the budget. Your budget is constrained and you have other program, therefore the best way is to apply bricks to the reservist. Don't create more. But if we have a partnership, we have a partnership with the other department, including AgriSA, you can get a complementary resources that builds that footprint of the reservist even in a rural area. But I think somebody must also come to the party with some contribution, because when you call up reservists, it's got to do with the stipend, it's got to do with the money. And if the police doesn't have it, the kitty can be good. I mean, just here in Cape Town, there's been a partnership between 3 spheres of government in looking at the security, or what you call it, security on the trains. That shows that if you can do that at a broader scale, then you're not going to have a problem that the police can't manage this, because other departments are not maintaining it. I already the question of the footprint, and I know the commissioner may be sensitive to speak about the informers and the footprint of it because of various reasons. I just think that in passing, because I'm also not going to spend time on it, I understand your concern. More and more I get worried about the footprint, but not only the footprint, the quality of that, because some of the quality of it takes you this way when you're supposed to take it in a particular way. So I think at some point in a particular environment, we should really have opportunity to interact with that issue, because it is a concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ramlakane. Thank you, members, for those additional ones. So we'll go to the National Commissioner for the additional questions and also the others, and then we'll go to AgriSA for their responses. General Sitole.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chair. I think, Chair, firstly, let me extend my appreciation for the various inputs that we're getting around the table, and also further say the Rural Safety Strategy is a service promise document to the client. and therefore the client must enrich it, so that by the time we execute it, then it talks to their needs. But the further request that I'm going to put forward is that we obviously cannot touch everything at the level of the committee. And hence, we then said in terms of the strategy, we want to reach out to all the parties to this particular strategy. So we would still like to have more input in terms of the reach out. But by the time we implement the strategy, it must talk to the client's needs, and it must respond to what is the challenge that is faced by rural safety. And then, Chair, I wanted to start with the question of the capacity, the difference between the tracks of a donkey and a cow. I think, Chair, we have what we call tracker capacity within rural safety. It's a more operational issue, and I'm not going to go deep to it, but all I want to say is that there's a highly specialized training that is given to trackers for them to be able to track, that is, the evidence. And those are just part of the considerations to enhance, that is, rural safety. But that capacity is a capacity that we also want to develop so that we enhance our tracking. And then when those people, they go through a special course, when they come out of the course, they can not only identify the tracks, but they can follow the evidence right up. They can track and recover. Yeah, even stock that got stolen. Mm. So it's a special training. I've already issued the directive that let's look at it as part and parcel of the revival of the specialized unit. And that's what will offer a solution to this. And when they work or they do tracking, I think those particular members, they can actually travel almost 100 kilometers on foot tracking. Yeah, and that thing is also not something that you're getting trained for. It's something that form part and parcel of the love of the job. So I think that's what we're looking at as one of the solutions, but under the tracking to resolve this particular problem. Then, Chair, they inform us. There's something that we call deliverable in the turnaround, the rural safety back to basics. Part and parcel of the rural safety back to basics is also talking to informants. When a detective commander inspects the dockets of an investigator, the investigator must prove to him that he's got the number of informants that talks to the national instruction. If that particular investigator cannot prove or show evidence, it's a misconduct. He must be defaulted on the spot. So that is the monitoring mechanism which is there. It's a long-standing instruction. And at a national level, the crime detection leadership is also supposed to hold a province to say, this is the number of detectives that you have in this province. You are supposed to have minimum 800 or 8,000 informants. Because of, if they don't meet that, it goes to the performance management system and then consequence management. So that's what we have restored, and that's how we're monitoring it. And it's not something new. Then part and parcel of the back to basics, there's stock, cart, and the sewer. I think though it was very interesting, Chair, because the Department of Agriculture is here, but the message is conveyed through policing to the Department of Agriculture. But we understand.
General, it shows the public trust is rising. It's positive.
That's right. It's a very positive one, Chair. Chair, I think it's just important for me to explain. Fortunate enough, I was the designer of the model at Free State. And Free State has been the best province in rural safety during my time as a provincial commissioner. So all these processes, I started them there. But one of those, we had the, whether you call them bogus farms, or I don't know what to call them. Today, this farm has got 10 cattle. The owner is not known, but it's a large farm. Tomorrow, there's 350 cattle. Then you go next week, only 50 of the 350 are left. You come the other time, there's 1,300 cattle. No one accounts. That's when we reinstated the stock cut in the Free State. But at the time, the member that is raising this matter, I have actually long issued instructions that the stock cut, we also have equal challenge with the pounds. I think there's certain pounds laws, and that talks to the inspection of pounds. But there's also certain evidence that the pounds need to produce. That evidence is no longer produced. So a cow that is slaughtered at a pound, you wouldn't know where does it come from. So those are all part of the, that is the basics, including branding. So those basics are going to be reinstated with a turnaround, and they will be executed. We will, of course, talk to the Department of Agriculture. But as we speak to the Department of Agriculture, we will raise what we call a security hazard and begin to say, you might have abandoned this, but we need it as a security measure. And then we will then be talking to the product stakeholders. And chair, the horse unit. In actual fact, we are going to invest quite a lot on horse units. Firstly, within the traditional policing concept, the traditional leaders, they are actually promising us that they will have almost minimum 300 horses that is on the spot. We also want to invest with farmers and say, you have capacity for horseback so can we work together so that we enhance that. So it's going to be an integration of resources as I've been explaining it. Syndicate, we can only tell up to a certain extent. We've got the OCTA strategy. At the present moment, we are focusing on syndicates that are part of the modus operandi shift to farmers. But it's an unconventional policing approach. So we can only end up there when it comes to syndicate. Maybe then there was a question of dealing with the experience on the ground check. In the new approach in terms of the turnaround vision, we want to develop a dispensation that keeps capacity where it is, which is one. Like, for instance, there's a person who wants to be an investigator. He never dreams of becoming a commander or a leader. This person is just an investigator. If you pay this person there where he is, this person has got no intention to go anywhere. So that is one dispensation that we're looking at, because our current dispensation is migrating the experience away to where you don't want it. With the migration of resources in terms of the current turnaround vision approach, we are trying to migrate those resources back from headquarters, provinces, back to the stations. But on a long term, we're looking at that particular dispensation. And part and parcel of the restoration of this experience, I've issued an instruction that all displays investigation capacity from the past must be taken back to the investigation environment. There are those who were promoted out of the environment because they wanted promotion. But we are then trying to correct that one. The rural safety forums, they will also add from visible policing, but I wanted to place them according to the strategic level. There's a rural safety forum That one will function at the level of the JCPS cluster. And it's a multidisciplinary collaborated platform, which means all departments are going to serve in this forum subject to the direction of the JCPS cluster, which then means they will also be subjected to the performance management system. Then you will have the rural safety priority committees. They are at the night joint level. They are connected. They are operational, that is structured. Then we still have the CPF. The CPF, they will function at local level, and they will also link to that include the CFF. But at a national level, with the community policing strategy, we are also developing a platform for the national community policing leadership so that we empower them to work together with us. I think we want to institutionalize community policing, and we want to take it through the whole country. Maybe, Chair, with your permission, before I go to the other questions, I can just allow visible policing, maybe in crime detection, to talk to the follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Jester. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. With regards to the declassification of stations specifically, it's something that the police is not in control of. So when a farmer sells off his property and he moves and he closes down the farm, that is, then stations have to be reclassified. If you look at in Western Cape, which is part of our APP, there are two stations that we've got to declassify, and that is Mbekweni and Tembaletu. You would know that those stations no more have small holdings or farms. So, but we can't declassify in the middle of a financial year. We've got to do it at the end of the financial year. That's why we still got to report it as not implemented, but those are the reasons for declassification. But we do have those stations, and I think at this stage it's mostly the Western Cape and Northern Cape that has been affected by that. In terms of the horses, we do have 20 horse units. However, all your horse units are not got the same numbers around the country. I think the National Commission already touch on it. Specifically, we are looking at partnering and having programs with the units and the community for training, and have community patrollers. Already we have 180 community horse patrollers around the country, of which most are currently in the Northwest. So with our units across the country, all 220 units, we've got 253 riders and 253 horses currently. Most of them are in the rural areas. Thank you, General.
Now, Chairperson, I just want to, I think the National Commissioner has covered everything. Safe to say, on the issue of the pounds, I think it's incumbent upon us as such, as well as agriculture, that we should come together, and as well as COP, as the Minister has said, so that we are having pounds. We are relying on the pounds holders, and in this case currently we are relying on the private pounds holders, because if we have stock that is impounded and we're busy with the investigation, many days that are in that pound we are paying, so a lot of money goes into that, and we are spending a lot of money on that, and we are not ring-fencing any money that seeks to deal with that, so it affects our budget. So I think it will be important that we should be meeting so that those that are relevant to come up with the pounds, they should do so as soon as possible, Chapter. So I think they will be assisting us as South African police. Secondly, the sharing of information, AFSA, you spoke about a lot of inputs that I think you made. We are having a stock theft information centers, and we should be having them throughout the province. But in some of the provinces, they are not there, because some of the key role players are not attending. So it's imperative that we come together to make sure that we realize that, so that we share the very information that you spoke about here today. So I think it would be good that if we can meet around that issue. Data investigating officer, Chairperson, I just want to go back to that. They are not able to identify or differentiate between the donkey hooves house one, they are not supposed to be lacking in that department. They are not supposed to be found wanting in that department because they are receiving specialized training. They are being sent like organized crime, like the agro first units in this case. They are being sent to specialized training. And even the issue of the brand marking, they will be able to tease out if a brand was put on top of another brand. That's how they are specialized. But we know that sometimes we are not doing what we're supposed to do, but we are taking note of that. But Chairperson, I want to emphasize that I think there is a need for the key departments to come together so that we're able to assist each other, particularly the program, except the forums that are there, so that we're able to sort out this kind of thing. The issue of the bail, Chairperson, I think was raised as well. And also the investigation of the case by the investigating officer and the prosecutor. It is important that, Chairperson, that we have a joint training with the prosecutor. I can be good in investigating a case, presenting the prosecutor, but if the prosecutor does not understand the dynamics of the stop there, he or she is not going to be able to present that. So I think also we are assisting each other in that regard. And as the National Commissioner is saying that you'll be elevating this at a cluster level, that will be part and parcel of the strategy for training, joint training for both the police and the prosecutor to make sure that you don't lose this case easily. So that also, when you do the bail application, we are able to put a document and argument together to convince the society so that the bail should not be given. Chairperson, I think those are the few things that I thought that I was going to talk about. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, General Tumani. General Stoli, anything else? Honourable Marquis?
Thank you, Chairperson. A follow-up on the pound. Just to understand, or if you are a private owner of a pound, what do? You go around looking for my cattle, and then you bring them to your pound and you make me pay? Or is it the duty of the police to get the cattle and bring it to whoever owns, or bring them to Bruce? What actually happens there? Because as I think about it, it might cause problems. Bruce took my cattle last week, I paid. He came again after he took my cattle, I paid. And then again the third time, and I'm a pensioner, I might think something about this Bruce. I might be a bit violent with this Bruce because we are unclogumers. So I just want to understand privately owned, who takes my cattle to the pound? And what happens? What is the process? How is the pound administered? By whom? Is it agriculture? Is it the police? Because I see this Bruce being brutalized by the villagers at some stage. Thank you.
And then we want to final responses and then we'll go to Agri-SA. Thank you.
Okay. And my question is also on the pond. Is there a stipulated amount to say it's so much per cow at the pond and you can't exceed it or something like that?
Maybe agriculture should come in, it's a really... within their terrain or local government. I don't know if the police wants to make the case, but I mean, it's a more operational issue. We can maybe get that detail later, but let's go to all the responses. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, with your permission, we might ask agriculture to come in first, then the crime detection will come in, then we'll go on these questions. Thank you.
Culture? Any? You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to check with my chair first if I'm allowed to respond. We've got to always observe protocols. On the issue of impounding, we cannot provide a response, Chair. We will have to consult with those that are relevant before we can provide that answer. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Chair. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I think the the pound is regulated by municipality. So I think if you have to deal with it, we need to have municipalities and understand how they operate, and then we can take it further from that level. So, and agriculture can participate, it doesn't have to. Thank you.
Right, let's go back to the main items of today. And is there anything else from the SAP side?
Yeah, Chair, just the last part from crime detection from that. Thank you. It's on the thing.
Chumani?
Okay. Honorable Maki, no. I will answer it in 2 weeks. If an animal or a stock was found to be straying on the road, somebody might take the stock to a pound. If we've got a registered pound by the municipality as the co-chair is saying, then it will then be taken back. But if we don't have a pound in a particular area or that municipality area, then that's where the private pound owners are capitalizing on, and they will have a pound, and then whoever found the stock will take the stock there. Then for a person to get his or her stock back, then an amount should be paid to the stock, the pound owner. So that's why the issue of the regulated amount should really be checked, because some other people are indeed robbing our own people or everybody. So I think it's important that the municipality through COCTA should really assist us in that regard. Chairperson, I'll just cite an example in Northwest at some stage when I was there. We had to assist and intervene as the police, because some of the people did not have money to release them. So we had to intervene to the pound owner to say, you look at this, because they don't have enough money, they're not going to be able to pay the exorbitant fees that they've accumulated. So that particular person was generous enough to agree to release. So I think this is some of the dynamics that we need to be making sure that we circumvent by making sure that the regulations that sit in this matter. I think it will be important if we can have that. I think the chairperson has answered on the issue of the stipulated amount. The municipalities should make sure that there are accounts so that we are able then to use them. That's how it should be, not really agriculture. Agriculture regulates certain resolutions, but the municipalities should be able to set up.
Thank you, General. Can we then move to Agri-SA?
Thank you, Chairperson. With your permission and the Honourable Member's permission, I'd like to start with the third question. My colleague has got a next appointment, and I'd like him to answer the first one regarding the resources, farmers and farm workers first. I'll hand it over to Johan Botha.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to convey information, and thanks for the opportunity for organized agriculture to partake. It refers specifically to the relationships between farm workers and farmers. I'm from the Western Cape Agricultural Union, but I can mention initiatives on national level which I'm known about. The first one is that of Agri Limpopo, which in collaboration with Mark Fish Foundation is running a soccer competition in Limpopo called Game of Stars amongst farm workers and farms. Another initiative is that of Agri Northwest, who's running a sponsorship with a soccer team of Mafikeng. looking at the Western Cape, and that I can speak in broad terms because I'm here for quite a couple of years, there's good cooperation between the SAPs, between Agri-Western Cape and initiatives that is running in conjunction in instances like Wellington, that's in the Winelands cluster, also in the Booster cluster. It deals with sports events like netball, rugby, soccer, cricket. There's also cultural competitions referring to choirs, bodybuilding competitions, beauty contests. Then for some years, DOCS, Western Cape, running training courses for farm workers to participate as farm watchers. That's in the Wellington Worcester area. Then the Department of Agriculture, Western Cape, do have an initiative for more than 10 years about farm worker. Okay, they have a farm worker directorate, and they are running farm worker competitions, and it is not only general workers, but it is farm workers with technical skills. It deals with managers and it deals with office personnel. So they are on a regional basis evaluated, regional winners as well as then provincial winners. Looking at farm watchers and the involvement of farm workers, there's quite a few farm watchers out in our province where farm workers do partake in this function. Many of that is in collaboration with SAPS. They don't act on their own. It's self-funded by farmers on vehicles, on radios, on all LPR camera systems. And I think Kobus Visser of AgriSA can deal in more brief terms about AgriSecuritas and the work done. So there do exist quite a lot of initiatives, some for long, some for short, but there's something going on. Maybe we have to more speak up to the outside about what's going on and not keep the information for ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome to proceed.
Yes. With regard to the question from Dr. Pieter Groenewald, I can just mention that we don't keep statistics at AgriSA, although there are some of our affiliates who do keep statistics, but our policies, and that is now the Free State, they've referred to it being a model, and I'll talk about it just now, and in the KwaZulu-Natal, we do keep our own statistics of two of our affiliates, but we don't take it public unless we've verified it with those of the police. That's in short, but we rely on the statistics of the police at AgriSA at present. Then with regard to the question of the microchips in animals, it's my suggestion that we do maybe consider the possibility of inviting the Red Meat Producers Organization to this meeting next time. They are responsible for the new Animal Identification Act, and it definitely is part of the inputs in the new act. And as far as I know, the microchip in elements like cattle and sheep is already being implemented with great success in Namibia, and we definitely consider it here, but the Red Meat Producers Organization is responsible for it. Then the last one, the 55 attacks at farms being prevented in the Free State. I'm proud to say that during General Sitoli's term of office, and General Tumani is here today as well, also being there, the Provincial Commissioner, we've started in the Free State with taking rural safety to a new level. And now, years afterwards, we're busy getting the fruit of the successes we're doing. And I think I may say, with the permission of General Sitoli, from Agri South Africa side, being a partner in inverted commas within the rural safety security, rural safety strategy, we intend to roll it out nationally now.
Thank you very much. The other question, I'll refer it to my colleague, Kobus next to me on my left-hand side, regarding technical assistance on farms.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. On the question on what AgriAsia does to assist farming communities to secure themselves, we established a trust fund, the AgriSecuritas Trust Fund, in 1991. And the aim of the trust fund is to assist farming communities through our farmers' associations to secure themselves and by providing additional funding for them to secure their whole community. So, Chair, just as an example, since June of 2017, the trust fund has already funded 32 farmers' associations to the amount of 3.8 million rand. And that included 3,100 farmers and approximately 44,000 farm workers who benefited through those projects. So if you look at the technology which is implemented at this stage, it's very high-tech technology. For existence, license and facial recognition cameras which are erected at entrances or routes through a farmer association's area. It also includes communication systems to be able to communicate with the wider community. And further, it also includes the purchase of drones, for example, in the Cullinan area and in Waterville, which they use also to patrol and in proactive operations. One of the aspects that the trustees are very sincere about and that they take up very sincerely is two conditions. The police must be involved in those projects at the local level. We need to have a letter from the police to say that they are aware and that they would participate in that project. It's also part of the objectives of the recent rural safety strategy. Then secondly, all those projects must be done within the ambit of the law, and it must be to secure the whole farming community, not a certain portion of the community. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is that all the responses from AgriSA? Thank you very much. Members, it doesn't seem there's additional questions, so National Commissioner, anything finally from you?
Okay, firstly, it's just to acknowledge and appreciate the support of the committee. I also just want to acknowledge and appreciate the support that we get from the rural safety, that is rural payers, AgriSA, FASA. We are going to have a rural safety outreach program where we want to reach out to all rural communities across the country, and in not long after here we shall have wrap up the strategy. We'll be ready to present it to the committee. But while we are busy with the review, the execution of the old or the existing strategy will still be continuing, but with reviewed approaches and with a focus on what is a challenge at the present moment. And we will also continue to link the turnaround vision to the creation of the SSJK Foundation for Rural Economic Growth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Thank you to the chairperson of the Agricultural Committee and the members who attended this meeting. We appreciate it very much. It was a very important meeting to get the status report of the safety strategy of SAPS. We welcome also the fact that there's a review taking place, and we will await the final product. And it's very important that the continued involvement of the various sectors in this strategy is very important. We also welcome the attendance and the positive input of the agricultural organizations here today and the continued cooperation with SAPS. What is vital for the committee is also that the National Development Plan in its full character should be implemented, and we welcome also the undertaking and assurance from the National Commissioner that that is really the framework that's going to be included in the strategy, and we're looking forward to the work that's going to be done, and we're also looking forward to the implementation of the specialized units and the resources that's going to be allocated to the rural stations. So thank you very much, honourable members. We will then meet next Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.